It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech. Odokta joins Stacey Higginbotham and film girl Christina Warren. Of course, we're going to talk about the Big Apple event coming up this week, our predictions. We'll also visit Grumpy Cat and find out. We're going to blow the lid off the Grumpy Cat scam, the whole thing. We'll find out why Ozzy Osbourne wants his genome sequenced and how you can rent the Aviato Mobile. It's all coming up next on TWiT.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 578, recorded September 4th, 2016. Bitchin' Betty says, pull up! This Week in Tech is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the simplest way to create a cover page or beautiful website for your portfolio, your blog, your business, or your online store. Enter the offer code TWIT and get 10% off. And by Carbonite. Keep your business safe this year. Protect files on your computer or server with automatic cloud backup from Carbonite. Try it free, no credit card needed, at Carbonite.com today. And use the offer code TWIT to get 2 free bonus months when you decide to buy. And by FreshBooks, the super simple cloud accounting software that's giving thousands of freelancers and small businesses the tools to save time billing and get paid faster. Try it free at FreshBooks.com/TWIT. And by Wealthfront. Wealthfront is a low-cost automated investment service and the most sophisticated way to invest your money. Whether you've got millions or you're just starting out, visit Wealthfront.com/TWIT and sign up to get your free personalized investment portfolio. That's Wealthfront.com/TWIT. It's time for TWIT This Week in Tech, the show where we cover the latest tech news. Wow, we got a massive audience for our Labor Day weekend show. For those of you outside the United States, it's a day we celebrate labor by not working. That makes sense. We're with us here, who is the three people who are working. Owen J.J. Stone. Oh, Doctor, nice to see you again.
I just realized it is Labor Day and I shouldn't be here laboring.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to take a relaxing chill. I might go get a drink or a beer.
Get a beer or something.
Yep. Because I should be upset right now.
What can't we do, though? I think we can't wear white shoes after today. I think that's
no. You can't wear white after Labor Day.
Yep,
you sure can. That's one of the rules. I forget what movie that's from. It's from like one of those.
I don't wear white shoes during any time of the year, but I guess this would be the bad time to wear white shoes. Also with us, Christina Warren from her new gig. Hi, Christina. Yes. Great to see you.
Great to see you too, Leo.
Film girl. She was at Mashable. She's now a senior writer at Gizmodo. Big promotion.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I moved 12 floors. So that's the funny thing.
You're in the same building?
I'm in the same building.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. That was sort of my joke. I was like, I was at Mashable for 7 years and as far away as I could get was 12 floors. So...
But the easy, so you, did you actually, I'm wondering, I'm seeing this vision of you with a box getting on the elevator.
I could have done that if I hadn't had a week off in between the two gigs, but I had a week off. So that would have been a little weird.
What'd you do with your week off? Did you go somewhere and do something fun?
I went to Atlanta and I visited my parents and saw some friends and just took care of some things. So it was nice.
Well, congratulations on the new job.
Thank you.
Also here from our show This Week in Google, an expert on IoT. You may remember her from GigaOM. In fact, Giga Stacy is still her handle on Twitter. Stacy Higginbotham, nice to see you.
Great to be here.
Host of the IoT podcast at IoTpodcast.com with Kevin Toefel. What a great panel. Let's just sit and talk. We don't need to do news. Nothing's going to happen anyway this week. It's going to be very slow the week after.
Yeah, it's not like there are two major events happening on Wednesday. There's nothing happening.
Wait a minute. Two major events? I know there's an Apple event.
Yeah, Sony PlayStation 4, whatever the hell they're doing with it.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Well, let's take them one by one. The event that Apple's doing will be in San Francisco at the Bill Graham Memorial Auditorium, where they've been having events lately. It's a big, big venue.
It's a big venue. Yeah, this is like their third or fourth event that they've done there. Because they did the iPhone event last year. They did WWDC. And I don't remember where they did the iPad Pro event, the smaller iPad Pro event in March. That might have been at Bill Graham.
This is going to be one of the last events they do that's not at their new corporate headquarters, because that should be open by early
next year. Should be open soon. Although I'm not sure if that will be big enough for them to bring in all the press that they want to bring in. So, I mean, it's possible they could still do these, you know, in San Francisco. But it's interesting that they've you know, basically gone away from using Moscone and right. just started using Milgram. So
when do you're flying out, I presume?
I am. So I fly out on Tuesday.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
You work for Gizmodo.
I do.
But you got the Christina Warren invitation, not the Gizmodo invitation.
I mean,
is Gizmodo still? No, Gizmodo's been going to these events, right?
No, they haven't.
They haven't.
They went to the Apple Watch one. So I guess 2 years ago was one that they were invited
That's
to.
That's when
I
the embargo, the banning was first broken.
Was first broken. And then that was the last event they've been
really?
To. So this is the first one.
Is that Gizmodo's choice, or does Apple not invite them?
To my knowledge, it was not their choice. So, I mean,
interesting. This goes back, if for people not paying exactly microscopic attention to everything that happens at Apple, back to the iPhone 4S, right, where it was left in a bar.
It was the iPhone 4. I don't know. I mean, you know, look, that was 6 years before I joined the company.
You're not responsible. And it was left in a bar. Somebody picked it up. This is before its release. And then so eventually sold it to Gizmodo, which did stories on it. Brian Lamb did stories on it. And then the police came and they broke in the house and they took all his computers and nothing came of it, but except Gizmodo stopped getting invited to Apple events. So congratulations on breaking the embargo.
Is it? Yeah. Did Apple know, though, when you joined?
Oh, yeah, they knew.
Or when they issued it? Okay.
It went to your Gizmodo address, not to your personal address?
Exactly.
Oh, interesting.
Okay.
See, it's a new Apple. They invite everybody.
They're going to need all the press they can get when they take this headphone jack out of the phone.
With the headphone jack. All right, let's talk about it. So, actually, I'm seeing conflicting rumors now, which is good, because otherwise it would be deathly dull, since usually now, by now, we know everything that Apple's going to announce. It's going to be some little thing like how many milliamp hours the battery has that will be a surprise. Except, I saw a couple of people run stories saying, not Mark Gurman. Mark Gurman's been consistent. He's, of course, the leader on all of this. He's formerly at 9 to 5 Mac. He's now at Bloomberg. He seems to have very good sources. He says, no, it's going to be an iPhone 7, 7 Plus. The 7 Plus will have dual cameras. The 7 Plus will not have a headphone jack. But I've seen other stories from other people saying there were going to be three phones. There was going to be an iPhone 7, 7 Plus, and 7 Pro. The Pro was the dual camera model. No?
No, I mean, I've seen that story too. That never made sense to me. I think what's more likely, and I'd love you guys' feedback, what I gather is they were probably at some point testing different devices, and they probably were looking at maybe making an iPhone, like having, I don't even know, three devices. I think they probably just iteratively designed the larger phone. And so three different chassis leaked, and one of them was presumably, you know, the 7 Plus. One of them, what they were calling the 7 Pro, which had the smart connector and the dual camera system. But I mean, you know, every leak that we've had from both Ming Chao and from Mark Gurman has basically been pegging on this dual camera system for quite some time. And so I saw this where I think Forbes was kind of like, oh, you know, they decided not to release three models. I was
right.
Like, there were never going to be three models. Okay. I don't think there were ever going to be three models. I think it was always going to be the small and the big.
Normally Apple does TikTok. This would be a new design. We already know, based on the leaked body pictures, and I think those are probably accurate, right?
Yeah, I think so.
We know
that
it's not going to be much of a new design. In fact, this might be a very dull event. This might just be, hey, we kind of put a new processor in there. We added an extra lens.
At this point, what can they do? And, you know, again, no matter what they do, they're going to tell you that it's the greatest thing on earth and that you should feel special about yourself and that you won't be whole unless you have the phone. So, you know,
I think they're going to have trouble selling this one. I'm going to go out on a limb here.
Yeah, what? You know, but that's...
First of all, why do you say stuff like that? You said stuff like that to agitate me. it's not like it's an iPad. They have problems selling iPads right now. They don't have problems with these phones. People like, if for nothing else.
The growth rate of the phones has dropped considerably.
When they launch, when a new phone launches in a series, they don't usually have a problem moving the units of the phone. Now, by the time they get to the S versions, yes, there is off of a cliff.
But this is an SS. This is not much of a change.
How do you know? We don't even have seen it yet.
Okay, you're
right. We don't even know how much of the change is.
Okay. Actually, isn't this right about when Apple would have released articles to, or, you know, sourced stories to the Wall Street Journal and other. This is typically what Apple would have done by now to kind of lower expectations to say, you know, well, but we haven't seen that this year, have we? Have we seen those kind of...
I don't know. I mean, I think the big news here is obviously going to be the camera on the larger phone and then the lack of the headphone jack. Those are the two things that, at least from what has leaked so far, are going to be kind of the big moment. So I think I'm really interested in seeing how they're going to sell and convince this whole no headphone jack thing.
Yeah. According to Ming-Chi Kuo, there is going to be a Lightning ear pods bundled in.
Yes.
And a connector, an adapter, through a Lightning 3.5 millimeter.
There was a leak of a, it looks like a box that showed a couple things. One, 256 gigabyte size. So at least on the larger phone, you can get a 256 gigabyte phone. So that's good.
Have gone as far as to say, I've seen people say this, in a couple of years, you'll wonder why they ever had a headphone jack.
I mean, I think if they can do wireless audio correctly, And I don't know if now is actually the time, but I think if they can, I think that could be, for most people, I think that might be accurate. We've seen this big trend.
Really?
And honestly, I do, because...
It's floppy.
It's not, but I do... Sorry,
until we have until we have good wireless charging for all these extra power sucking devices, I think it's a mistake.
I don't want to charge my headphones.
Exactly.
I really don't.
And I have all Bluetooth wireless stuff. But first of all, think of children. And one extra thing for
think
them to
of the children. Exactly. Think of the children.
The children and
then
are
on,
fine.
And then on top of that, I don't know if anybody's watched any kind of video. Watch Netflix with a Bluetooth headset and tell me you're not watching a 1940s Chinese film.
Well, yes. There's a newer Bluetooth spec. I'm sure, Stacey, you're up on this. AptX. That supposedly is even higher fidelity than A2DP. It's not the fidelity I worry so much about, is the connectivity, which drops. And as you pointed out, battery life.
The battery life. And in addition to the newer Bluetooth spec, there's something called NFMI, which we're seeing from some other headphone makers, people like Doppler Labs, who are making, you know, the Hear One wireless headphones, which will be out later this fall.
This is hearing aid technology, NFMI.
Basically. And that's, though, they feel like because I've talked to them, they basically said that they feel like they've completely nailed
near field magnetic induction.
Yeah.
So that means it's a wireless charging, wireless.
Well, I mean that's for the sync issues. For charging, I mean that becomes a much more difficult kind of scenario. Although if you can have, I mean we've seen this with a lot of kind of the wireless buds that are out now, where they have charging cases where you can pop them in a charging case for, you know, 15-20 minutes.
I have four charging cases right now, and that's not viable.
I have the Motorola Hint, so that's one way Motorola solved it. So, of course, a little thing in your ear isn't going to have much battery life, so they include a case that's a larger battery. You charge the case, and then that stays charged, and it gives you multiple charges on the little earpiece. So you put your earbuds away in a case.
Right. Let me ask you guys this, though. I mean, look, I agree.
Like
I think that
solving a problem that doesn't exist. What's wrong with headphones?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, but I guess to play devil's advocate, because look, I came to terms with the fact that headphone jack is going away like 10 months ago, like 9 months ago, like as soon as the rumors really started kicking up, like in January, I was like, okay, it's gone. I've got to come to terms with this, not because I'm okay with it, not because I feel like it's necessarily a good decision, just because this is what the reality is going to be. And I'm an iPhone user, and my next phone will be an iPhone. And so I need to get used to using dongles and deal with it. But let me ask you guys this. I mean, they're going to be including these Lightning AirPods in the box. Since most people do use the included headphones with their phone, they don't use third-party headphones even. Like, I wonder if a lot of this is kind of overblown in terms of, you know, everybody freaking out about it, when most people are just going to use the headphones that come with their phone to begin with, and they're just going to continue to use headphones that are there.
Just Lightning headphones.
Sounds like a totally logical and reasonable explanation. But then when you ask the real reality of life, how many times has a cable like this and a headphone set broken on you?
Yeah.
And how long do Lightning crap cables from Apple last? Because I'll tell you what, they don't last very long. So now not only do I have to pay $30, $40 for a new dongle and then the earpiece that's already broken, I've got Apple headsets that I've had for 5 years now that still work. I've got dongles that don't last 3 months.
Stacey, so, my kids came to me. Does your daughter come to you and say, I lost my headphones, can I have a new pair? And I have a drawer full of cheap, normal headphones.
That's instead of my kid, it's me.
It's you.
I lose my headphones all the time.
And they just work.
But Lightning headphones are not going to be cheap because you've got to pay the Apple tax on it. By the way, let's look at this NFMI. Is this your opinion, Christina, that this will also be part of this?
I don't think it'll necessarily be part of this, but I do know that that's just a standard that people are using.
It's so interesting. The company that makes this, Freelink, has it totally patent encumbered, by the way.
Yeah.
You can only get it through Freelink.
I'm not suggesting that's going to be something that Apple launches, but I know for a fact that other headphone makers are looking at it. So I feel like...
So Apple's it's kind of a replacement for Bluetooth. It's another form of PAN, personal area network, that uses magnetic inductance, low power inductance. I can see the people. There are already people who think Wi-Fi causes brain damage. They're gonna look at this and say, you're going to shoot magnets through my head?
No, people are wearing magnets. It's okay.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. Just tell them it's good for their health.
Yeah,
it's a secure wireless bubble around each user, using a low power inductive antenna. Inside the bubble, devices connect instantly. Outside, they're invisible. And FMI is the only technology that could be used where secure and reliable PAN solutions are needed. Apparently, they use it in the armed forces on the battlefield, so your tactical headset can't be broken into.
What is the distance on that?
Fairly small from what I understand, but I mean, but it'd be enough, you know, for if you've got like your head, you know, I think it's probably, you know, 10 or 11 feet. I'm not really sure.
Wow. And the radio has to be in the headset and in the phone?
No, it just has to be in the headset.
Wow. This is really
because I know a company that's already working on a product that'll be out like this fall that will use this. So, and I was talking to them the other day. And so I feel like, whether Apple uses something like that or not, who knows? But I feel like what's at least exciting about this, even if you think that this is a worthless, you know, exercise, it's stupid for them to get rid of the jack, and that's a valid thing to say. But I think even if you accept that, the fact that they are getting rid of the jack is going to force, I think, whether it's Bluetooth or NFMI or any of these other things, it's going to force people to start taking wireless seriously. And we haven't had a lot of advancement in wireless technology when it comes to headphones, you know, in the last 10 years or so. We just, it really hasn't improved.
Wouldn't that be interesting if Apple used this as an opportunity? Because I agree with you, the rhetoric that Apple uses on Wednesday will be fascinating to watch. If they do remove the headphone jack, they're going to have a story,
right?
A compelling story. Why?
Well, the advancement of things, that, again, that sounds great. Because, again, when I use headphones and I can't watch video, or like the audio just isn't as clear, like when you plug in the physical line, you just feel and hear the difference. So if we're going to make great advancements at the push of Apple with their iron fist, then that's great. If that turns out to be the case, giving me one more thing to charge.
But we're always going to have one more thing to charge.
Yeah,
we've been steadily being conditioned to like lower quality, lower resolution on all audio. I mean, think landline to cell phone.
I know. I hate that.
Streaming music.
It's unnecessary.
So this may just be another departure from like not 5.9s, because it's not reliability. It's just quality.
There are a lot of people, Neil Diamond, Neil Young, and maybe Neil Diamond for that matter, Neil Young, who think that it's a terrible thing that musicians are making music that there's a whole generation can't even hear because they're listening on crappy earbuds. Apple might make the case. Apple loves music, right? Maybe they'll make the case.
Yeah.
Well, those earbuds aren't good. We're going to make you really good headphones, and we can do it better.
Oh, it's going to cost so much money. And you lose those all the time. I mean, I can see why Apple hates wires. I totally can. Yeah. I mean, they
hate
clunky
buttons. They hate wires.
Yeah,
They would love it if they had a glass slab with no controls, nothing.
That'd be the perfect thing, right? Yeah. No interface, nothing. Just operate
telepathic. A bar of soap.
Telepathic. That's exactly it.
You get a chip in your head and you interact with your phone.
Hey, where is Johnny Ive these days? You don't see him or hear him or anything. Is he on vacation for the last 3 years? What's going on with Johnny Ive?
He's doing the new MacBooks.
He's got to be doing something, right?
Maybe he's in Ireland, hanging out with that tax shelter.
He seems like he's just disappeared. Will we see? All right, here's your bingo card. You got to do a bingo card with an Apple event. Will there be a Johnny Ives sighting on Wednesday?
Yeah, I think so.
Will there be a Johnny Ive White Room video on Wednesday?
Will we hear aluminium? That's really the question.
I mean, that is the big question. When I interviewed him last year, I made him say, I didn't make him. I politely requested.
Johnny,
I
said, what is this phone made of, Johnny?
No. But I very politely said, I was like, can you just say aluminium for me once?
That's cute.
And he did. But I think that was much to the chagrin of everyone else in the room. I think they were like, you really just asked.
Christina, you are so crass.
This is the only opportunity I'm ever going to have in my entire life. Ask him.
Johnny, what are these phones made out of, Johnny? Aluminium, Christina. I told you 4 times already. Aluminium.
He probably says it asleep at this point.
Aluminium.
I bet we see him, and I bet there is a video, especially if they're showing off the new camera system.
Yeah. Is he the guy who tells the story of the missing headphone jack?
I don't know.
It's not Phil Schiller. I don't trust Phil Schiller.
Not Phil Schiller. No. They have to get some sort of audio expert, somebody on there. Like, yeah. I'm with you guys. I almost wonder if they are going to, they're not going to be as crazy about it as Neil Young, but maybe if they're going to start making
I'm Todd
mistakes.
Rundgren. You may remember me. Right?
The thing is, no matter what they say, it's a lie. It is not better to have wireless sound than it is to have wired sound. So the spin move on that is something only Apple can do in a turtleneck white room environment to try and trick people and mesmerize them into thinking that something's real when it's not.
They'll get Bono to tell the story.
Bono. Great. Rock star. I can't hear anything, but if I could, I wouldn't use a headphone jack.
And then everybody will get a free album that they didn't want again.
Touch me, Tim. Touch me. Taylor Swift. She's young. She's still got good hearing. Taylor Swift. Hi.
We got 30 things on here besides this.
I know. It's boring. Apple and you know what? Okay, I'm going to drop it. We're going to move on. But I'm just saying, maybe it's me. Maybe I've finally hit it. Because I've seen this happen with many of the tech journalists I've worked with over the years. You get to a point where you just stop caring. Mm. And maybe I'm just jaded, but this is not an iPhone. I'm not going to buy this iPhone. Come on, dude.
Of course you are. You know you are. That's such a lie.
Why would you lie?
Not even. You know you are.
You're definitely going to buy one.
You know you are.
You have to buy one.
Here's the thing. If you buy it and want to get rid of it, just send it to me and I'll take it. But don't tell me you're not going to buy it.
You know what I did get rid of? My Galaxy Note 7. We'll tell that tale in a moment.
Before it blew up?
Well, would you plug it in after reading all that?
I surely would. Not only would I plug it in, I'd plug it in 24/7, 365, carry it in my pocket.
Hoping it blew up.
And hope to Jiminy Christmas my pocket went a smoldering. I tell you what.
I kind of wanted flames to leap out of it.
Man, it'd be stone sung by the time I'm done with them.
Obscure tech journalist, podcaster, phone explodes. No one cares.
Oh, somebody's caring. I got a lawyer for that.
Yeah. It burns. All right, we'll talk about that. But first, let's talk about Squarespace, the place to make your next website. I was talking to somebody the other day. Actually, it was on the radio show who has a different hosting company. I won't name names. I don't want to shame anybody. He said, I don't understand. I updated my Chrome and my site looks different. The menu, instead of going this way, goes sideways. I said, oy, oy, oy. This is, I don't know why that happened, but let me tell you, it wouldn't happen with a Squarespace site. You want to have, first of all, if you're going to have a website, and you should, every company, every individual, it's your best way to control your image, your presence on the web is to have your own website. And you've got something to say. You've got a unique point of view. You need somewhere to put it. And putting it on Facebook, with all due respect, or Twitter, that's not enough. That's not your page. That's their page. That's Mark's page. Put it on your page. So you want a web host that's going to give you a great-looking page that reflects your aesthetic, that lets you do, you know, your stuff, whatever it is, whether it's selling candles or writing about paint colors or whatever you love. And it does it in a way that you feel good about it. And that's Squarespace. And by the way, extremely affordable. Every site looks professionally designed. You could do it yourself, by the way. If you are a CSS, JavaScript, HTML guru, A lot of people use Squarespace like that, too, because you can start with a blank template that gives you all the under-the-covers engineering, but you get to design it exactly the way you want. They've got templates for everything, some brand-new magazine-style templates, include interactive features like grid-style landing pages. You know, you see these on all the big, you know, online magazines. Infinite Scroll, that's all the rage now, right? You got related posts, so people can explore more author profiles. And all of this comes with a basic account on Squarespace.com. You can try it free. I want you to do that right now. If you go to Squarespace.com, just press the Get Started button, pick a template. Oh, one of the nice things is you're not, you know, your template and your content are completely separate, as they ought to be. So if you say, I don't know, let me try a different one. Your template can change with your mood. Every one of them, though, mobile responsive, so you don't have a separate mobile site. Your site looks great on every size screen. When you upload images, behind the scenes, the Squarespace software automatically creates 9 different sizes so that they have an image to fit the screen it's on. They have e-commerce on every site, so you can always sell something. And by the way, I think it's the only e-commerce that where your store matches the rest of your site. It matches your aesthetic. That's really nice. They now do domain names, so you don't even have to go to a separate registrar. That makes it very easy to get a custom domain. In fact, you've always gotten a free one with an annual purchase, but now you can purchase directly from Squarespace Domains, register your domain, and unlike a lot of these other places, they'll give you a parking page that's clean, that's spam-free, that's gorgeous, so that you have time to start building. It's never been easier to sell online. Power your business with Squarespace Commerce. They just introduced analytics for commerce, which is really helpful. You can see, you know, the traffic in real time. That's kind of fun to put that up on the wall at your office. You can see when people abandon your checkout. That's important to know. Device filtering, how are they coming to your site? And if you are, and there are people who do this for a living. In fact, when Lisa wanted to create a site for her new agency, she said, "Would you do it?" I said, "No." But Squarespace has these great people who work independently but use Squarespace as their platform. And she found somebody did it for a very reasonable price, did a wonderful site for her. That's artisanalagency.com if you want to take a look at it. Oh, and that's another nice thing. You could all go there at once and it wouldn't bring it down. Squarespace sites just never go down. Anybody who's built or contributes to 3 or more active websites gets access to something new. This is the Squarespace Circle. It includes advanced guides, optimized support, and 6-month trial periods for new projects. That's nice. 1 million customers and growing and still going strong. And yes, they never go down. Squarespace.com. There's only one thing I'd ask. If you decide to set up a Squarespace site for free, if you decide to buy after you play with it for a while, use our offer code TWIT. That way they know you heard about it here. Because I know Squarespace has ads everywhere now, right? Even the Super Bowl. But you'll also get 10% off as a thank you. So there you go. Squarespace.com. Don't forget the offer code TWIT. We're talking tech. 3 fun people. Stacey Higginbotham. Just love having her on This Week in Google every week. She does a podcast with Kevin Toefel on Internet of Things. She just came back from the Intel Developers Forum. She really is keeping up on this very interesting space. Nice to have you, Stacey. From Austin, Texas. And also with us from her brand new job at Gizmodo, senior writer at Gizmodo, film girls here, Christina Warren. Hi, Christina.
Hello.
Always a pleasure. And oh, Dr. Owen J.J. Stone. I was just on your podcast. What's that?
And I should be on a beach, but I'm stuck here with you laboring away Labor Day weekend.
Is that the sunscreen where you squirt it on and it's purple? I love that stuff.
This is for the kids, so I don't know what happens.
You know what I'm talking about? You squirt it?
Yeah.
It's for kids. And then you know because you put it purple, and then as you rub it in, it disappears, but you know that you've got...
I don't use sunscreen, so I've never had the pleasure of doing that.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Sure you can.
African-Americans need sunscreen?
Sadly, I've never burned in my life. I've never had the pleasure of my skin flaking and
peeling. Because aren't you protected? You're protected.
I got some built-in natural stuff that works out pretty well. Like I have to sit out in the sun for like 10 hours to get a tan.
It strikes me you should still wear sunscreen because of skin cancer.
People say that, but a lot of my family members, like when I was younger, they're like, I never wore it. And people lived and died of other things, but nobody's dying of skin cancer.
Okay.
So it's one less thing for me to do on the beach.
That's awesome. Nice. Yeah. What's the name of your podcast, and when is my episode going to appear?
Oh, it's DocTales. I put it up the other day. Oh, I didn't tweet it out. I just tweeted it out.
Tweet
today.
It out, man. I got to publicize it. I did.
The title is 500 pounds of cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Because we randomly had a conversation about cheese.
We had what they euphemistically call a wide-ranging conversation.
Oh, and I found an interview we did together from like 2010. I put that up as a bonus also that people can go and listen to the lineage of Laporte.
Was my voice higher back then?
You looked a little younger. You're a little bit more spry. It was back when you were still in the cottage.
Spry.
You were still in the cottage.
Anybody seen me move? Know that spry is not the word. Maybe wizened, creaky.
Creaky sounds good.
Yeah, DocTales. Where would we find that?
IQMZ.com. It's sitting up there. It's on my Twitter. It's on my Facebook.
IQMZ.com.
Four letters.
I quit my zebra.
Zombie.com.
So I got an email from T-Mobile saying, stop charging your Samsung Note 7 because it could blow up. Yeah. 35 people phones have blown up. Now, that's not a lot when you sell more than a million.
No, but it is. No, actually it is. When you look at like whatever like Six Sigma or like whatever the things are for these things, I actually think that 35 reported cases is significant.
iPhones had a problem once, but they didn't have anywhere near that number, right?
No, and in those cases it was I think proven to be the unofficial cables.
Right. In this case, Samsung's taking a $1.5 billion, we think it'll be a $1.5 billion write off because they've sold more than a million of them. How many do we know? A lot. I bought one.
A lot.
My parents both bought one.
I feel bad.
It's a great phone.
Yeah, I've been recommending it, right? I've been telling everybody, this is the phone. If you're going to get an Android device, this is my current favorite.
So you stopped using it?
Yeah, never had any problems with it. You know, I charge it fast charging. I normally charge it on a slow wireless charger overnight. So
I don't mind running the dice.
No, it doesn't get hot.
Okay, that's good, because we were getting, because after I wrote the initial story that they were like delaying production, this is before the recall, I got a number of emails from people saying that theirs was getting like very hot to the touch. And so, and again, I mean, I think that it's
that's
probably
a bad sign, right?
Yeah. And so I think, yeah, it is. And so I don't know how widespread this is. I think it could be probably, I think it's probably was maybe one, a couple of batches, probably down to one supplier. If they were to really go back and see, it was probably one supplier.
They're not,
but
they're not doing this in China, and they say, well, it's a different battery. So, you know, we know what this is caused by. Lithium ion batteries are, anything that contains a lot of energy is always could be potentially dangerous, whether it's gasoline or batteries. In the case of lithium ion batteries, if you overcharge them, and this is true, by the way, of other batteries too, if you overcharge them, they can swell up, they can heat up, and in fact, they can get so hot, they can burn. And if they swell even more while they're burning, they can explode. And really, it's like napalm. I mean, apparently, it could get on your skin and it caused severe burns. It's not a good thing.
I'm not trying to detract from 35 because I feel like 35 is a large number. But at the same time, also, you know, people get a paranoia in their mind of when they think something's hot. My iPhone sets ablaze when I talk on it for more than 20 minutes.
Most phones get hot.
When you
most modern phones.
That's true. That's true.
So it's like, I mean, when you think to yourself, like, is it hot to the touch? Like, every phone, when you talk on it or do anything on it for more than 10 minutes, it gets hot. Like, literally, like, if you put it to your face, you can feel
it. Hot while it's working is a different kind of hot. That's the processor getting hot versus hot while it's not working but simply charging. That means the battery's getting hot.
True
story. Okay, well, my phone actually gets hot while charging. It's the Nexus 5X, so it's got the rapid charging. And I noticed that when it charges, it does get hotter than my previous phones.
Rapid charging, I think, is widely agreed not to be a good idea. That's hard on batteries. In fact, we had a battery expert here. We talked a lot after the show last week. He's a researcher. And he said heat is the enemy for lithium ion. It reduces the life. He told me, and I should tell you, Stacey, because you also drive a Tesla, don't park your Tesla in the sun. Park it in the shade.
Dude, I am so screwed. I live in Austin, Texas.
I know. But he said the phone manufacturers know all this. They know quick charging heats up You know, Tesla says don't use the supercharger too much. Same reason. It'll lower the life of your battery. But phone companies go, you're only going to have that phone for a couple of years. It's never intended to be owned for longer. So we don't really care if we're reducing battery life. It's far more important that we have quick charging.
Do you know what I do with my phone in the car? I stick it in the air conditioning vent face down so the sun's not beating on it and it stays cool as a crisp. Because I'm usually streaming stuff. I got movies streaming and all kinds of stuff. Download my music. So it gets really hot. So I put it in the vent and it stays cool as a cucumber and it stays happy. And I don't have to like restart it as much because I'm always like I use like 30, 40 gigs of data a month. So I'm always like killing this phone.
Christina, did Samsung go far enough? Did they do the right thing?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, look, they started seeing, you know, that the problem was existing. They immediately stopped shipments. Then they did an investigation and realized, okay, this is maybe more widespread than we thought. And are doing the full recall, you know, working with the carriers, doing the exchanges. Yeah, they're absolutely treating this the way that it needs to be treated, which is, look, you know, at least so far, it hasn't been, you know, no one's been seriously hurt or anything. And that's a very good thing.
Yeah, do we know? I've seen some pictures, but do we know people who have had the phone burn?
No, I so far I don't believe we've seen any of those. Yeah. I mean, we've just seen and all the photos have been from Asia, at least that I've seen. I haven't seen any reported cases in the United States, but that doesn't mean that people haven't been hurt. But at least so far, it looks like no one has, which is a very good thing. No, I think they've handled this the exact way they needed to handle it. You can't force people to come in and do a one-to-one swap, but by making it as easy as possible and by the fact that the carriers are sending out the emails, that's huge.
Here's the email I got from T-Mobile. Samsung notified us today they're recalling Galaxy Note 7 due to battery safety concern. I don't know who wrote this, but there have been 35 cases reported globally as of September 1st. Samsung has communicated to us they will have replacement Note 7 devices that should be available in the next 2 to 4 weeks. Okay, that's a problem right there. Mm-hmm. As a customer, your safety is our number one priority. We're making it easier for you to return and exchange your Galaxy Note 7 free of charge. Sign up. We'll let you know. This is one option. By the way, Consumer Reports says this is a terrible option. Sign up and we'll let you know when the new phone's available. In other words, keep using it. Or switch to a new device. Samsung and at least T-Mobile says, and I imagine all the carriers, well, we'll have something you can use until the new phone comes. Or return the phone for a full refund. And that's what Samsung's saying is we will buy back every one of them. We don't care where you got it. If you don't want it, we will buy it back. But the problem is if it's your only phone, no one wants to be without a phone for 2 to 4 weeks.
Right, right. I mean, that puts them in a weird quagmire position, which I think is why a lot of the carriers are saying, look, you can swap it out for a different phone. And then when we get them in stock, swap it back out again. Some of the retailers are saying that they'll have new stock next week. I think it just depends on the person, how comfortable you are keeping it and for how long. But, if you're really concerned, there are going to be alternatives that you can do, and you can always just swap it out with your carrier and say, hey, you know, I need, now that you have the Galaxy Note 7 in stock, I want to go back and get that again.
Consumer Reports says Samsung hasn't gone far enough because this is not an official recall. If it were an official recall, they would go to the Consumer Product Safety Commission, the CPSC, and declare an official recall. At that point, it would be illegal to sell the Note 7 in the United States. And according to Consumer Reports, some retailers are still selling the phone as late as Friday. So Samsung has not gone to the full length that they should if at least according to Consumer Reports, they ought to. Consumer Reports has kind of turned into the cranky nanny of...
They might have found out some information about where the batch that they came from and feel confident that it's not going to continue to happen and be a continued issue, possibly.
Here's an image of this is from China, Hyungwon Shin. That is not pretty.
No, it's not.
That is a pretty nasty burn right there. And that's, by the way, right where the battery is, as I remember, it's a long battery, and that's about where it would be on the left side of the phone as you're looking at it from the front. You wouldn't want that to happen in your house. I mean, that's why Samsung's taking this seriously. 35 phones is enough to say,
Yeah, and I do have to say, Consumer Reports might have a point in that maybe they should do an official recall and make it illegal to sell it or whatever. But I also have to think that they're working with all the retailers. They're working with all the carriers. maybe other than the maybe some web places, I can't imagine any place after Friday. I can't imagine any place continuing to sell the phone just for their own liability reasons.
By the way, according to the New York Times, it's 2.5 million Note 7.
2.5 million Wow.
That's a lot.
It's a lot of phones.
All right. Well, I guess we've said enough. I mean, if you have a Note 7, I think you shouldn't take the chance. I think you should probably trade it in. I'm in the good position of having a lot of things I could use instead, so it's not like I'm going to be phoneless. But I am going to be out of the country when I would get if it's 2 weeks, I won't be here. So, you know what? I'm going to just ask for my money back. I've had I like the phone, but I don't. You know, I hear there's new phones coming from other companies.
Are they all going to be waterproof? Are they all going to be dustproof? I know Apple will never do that.
Will little Wayne give back his champagne soaked?
No.
That's the question.
No.
Never. All right. Well, I think actually Samsung's, I can't remember anybody, Apple's never done this. I can't remember anybody doing a recall of this magnitude for a smartphone.
And not in smartphones. I mean, we had the Sony laptop battery recall.
Right. Oh, remember that? That's right. Yeah. Same reason.
Same reason. Dell have a laptop battery.
Yeah.
Again, it was. Same reason.
Yep.
The same reason. Yeah. And I think that those, the Dell laptop, the Sony laptop.
The Dell was more like it would swell and torque and bend, although I presume that's the beginning of something bad. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to overcharge lithium ion batteries. So, yeah.
The way people act about Bendgate, I would venture just to see if this were Apple, how people would lose their minds.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like this is a very common problem.
Don't you think?
I'm not talking about Apple answering the problem. I'm talking about the wave of people that would storm down the gates upon Apple.
Yeah.
The way they do about everything. My phone bent. They don't know what they're doing. Like the rage. Like everybody's like, okay, Samsung, you made a mistake. All right, you're on top of it. Okay, cool. We'll let it go.
I think Samsung's getting
Apple
a free
can't
pass.
Live
no,
like that.
They're getting a free pass because they did the right thing and they did it quickly, and no one was hurt, and they responded exactly appropriately, even though. I think they're going to take a big hit on this. The timing could be worse.
The timing is terrible.
Especially how popular this phone was.
Your parents might end up getting an iPhone, Stacey.
Okay, my mom will never get an iPhone, but...
I like your mom.
She's not going to go there.
Is she an iPhone hater?
She's not a hater. She's just... They frustrate her.
Really?
Yes.
And Android does not?
I don't... Yes, it doesn't frustrate her. She likes it.
Nice.
Yeah, not an iPhone person. Although the increasing size of all the Androids for a while really upset her. But now she's like, with this one, she was like, holy cow, it's beautiful. I can finally see my screen.
That's one of the things I like about this. This is a big phone with such small bezels that it doesn't feel like a big phone. It feels like a normal size phone with a giant screen somehow magically.
And she loves the magnifying thing and then the tuning thing, which made me feel like, dang it, guys. We got to put more stuff on this design for older people.
Yeah. You're talking about the adapt sound that we mentioned on Twig. And I think a lot of people didn't know that Samsung does this. It buries it way deep in the settings. But you can actually do a hearing test on the phone with your earbuds in and then have the phone take the results of that and create a equalization curve tuned to your individual ears.
And that's awesome.
It produces a very good result. I do that with every Samsung phone I get. I don't know when they started... S6 maybe, but I love it. It's called Adapt Sound. It's in your sound settings. And they have a headphone jack, as they said.
in their
announcement. We have a headphone jack. It's not the first. Apple's not the first company to abandon the headphone jack. The Moto Z does not have a headphone jack. Although that's not even out. I mean, I don't know when that's going to be widely available.
Do you think Apple would ever go back on the headphone jack if no one else adopts it?
Mm-hmm. No.
Here's a question.
No.
Will they have two phones, one with and one without?
No.
No.
They'll have. Well, no. Well, they will still sell the SE.
SE
will still have it. But no, I mean, I think that, and they're still going to sell. I presume, just like they have in past years, the 6S and the 6S Plus, they'll still sell those for less money. So you'll still be able to buy a phone with the headphone jack. But if you want all the fancy, new hotness, bye-bye.
Going forward, they will not. Go back. They're definitively like defiant on things. When they say A is A, it's always going to be A from here on out.
Right. Yeah. Like, the only time I can ever.
I was going to say, even when it's a mistake, they just force through it and then they make it the standard.
The only time I can ever remember them going back ever was with FireWire on on mm-hmm. one of the Macs. So when they released the first unibody MacBook Pro, they also released a unibody MacBook at the same time. And the unibody MacBook, this was like the successor to the plastic MacBook, did not have a FireWire port on it. And people freaked. I was one of the people who freaked. I remember I was writing for TUAW at the time, RIP. And I was like, this is insane. And within a year, within probably like 6 months, actually, they re-released that laptop, renamed it the 13-inch MacBook Pro, unibody MacBook Pro, and put a FireWire port on it. But that's the only time I can ever recall in like recent Apple history of them going back on something.
When Tim Cook did that really good Washington Post interview, he did admit to having made mistakes. He said the Apple Maps fiasco, for instance.
Sure.
We made a mistake there. They didn't recall it or anything, but they worked very hard to make it work better.
Someone in the chat
said, "There's no new Coke moment for Apple."
Someone in the chat said, "We will never have a pencil." Stylus.
Oh, if you see a stylus, you blew it.
No,
but that's Jobs not being around.
And it was Jobs talking about a phone, not a tablet.
Right. Totally. And the Apple Pencil is different, definitively different than the typical source of stylus that you were seeing at the time. Like it is different. It's a sort of device that even other styluses that we were seeing for, you know, like iPads and stuff, like that, it's a different sort of tool. But yeah. And it's not the primary input mechanism. Like you can still touch as your primary input mechanism. If you're going to use the Apple Pencil, that's because you need precision for certain stuff. It's not like a Palm Trio, which is, you know, who had a stylus. That's who he was referencing. Or the Windows mobile devices, which use styli, where you had to touch their terrible non-capacitive touchscreens, you know, to get stuff done. And it sure was fun to play like Bubble Bobble, but it was a terrible user experience.
Oh yeah, I had what was that? It was a Palm device that had a stylus on it, and I played a lot of Bedazzled on it. Actually,
that's what it Bejeweled. Bejeweled. Bejeweled was great on and the Trio.
What was that? The Clio. Remember the Clio was a Sony. Yeah, it was a Sony Palm device.
Sony. Yes,
it was an awesome device. Except that. I lent it to somebody. I got it back, and she'd apparently played a lot of Bejeweled because there was a scratched like grid.
Wow!
On the phone, she played it so much with the stylus that
it
was like there was a grid of her going because Bejeweled you slide and
mm-hmm.
wow.
So okay. That's aggressive.
That's an aggressive Bejeweled player.
Serious business.
Mm-hmm. They'd never say never. I don't think the modern Apple. I don't think Tim Cook is so adamant that he'd say, "We will never surrender, never give up, forward only." If they made a horrible mistake with the headphone jack, I could see him backing down. No?
We all can't even think about it. Like, it's not even like something you can envision.
It's not even possible.
We all just sat here with our eyes going like this, like,
impossible.
No, I think what's a lot more likely, and I think, is that Apple does this, and then you see how many other companies. I mean, look, as you said, they're not the first company to not have the headphone jack.
Everybody will copy it. Absolutely.
That's what I'm saying.
Like that's the thing. Slave sheeples that will just go, whatever you say, Apple, lemmings off the cliff, and it will be a mistake in every respect, in my opinion. But I've been wrong many. I've been wrong more often than not with Apple, so.
I will never be able to talk to anyone again if I have to like charge headphones to make that happen. But
don't worry, they'll give you a dongle that'll last for like 2 months. So for 2 months, 2 months you'll be able to talk to people.
I have dongle fatigue.
They're going to have to tell a really compelling story because really the most obvious story is, well, we just want to make more money on headphones by licensing the Lightning port. Sorry, but that's, you know, we're in it for the money.
And or unless you're able
that's
to
not
make
an Apple that anybody wants to see.
No.
It's compelling if you think about you're carrying your phone and it becomes the basis of you have to keep it with you all the time and talk to it. If Siri becomes better, you're just going to want to have something that's a lot lighter weight that you don't have to worry about like making a gesture and whacking out your headphones. I mean, like, so if you envision that becoming.
You mean when I throw my phone because Siri's such an idiot?
Yes, but think about taking it also into your car.
Siri is never going to get better, by the way. I can promise you Siri is never going to get better.
Maybe they can use Alexa voice services. Wouldn't that be fun?
Apple's been lapped twice now on voice recognition. I'm sorry.
I really like Siri on the Apple TV. I'm going to disagree with you a little bit there. I have issues with it on the phone.
Yeah, because it's such a constrained thing you're doing.
Right.
But on the Apple TV, it works really well.
Yeah, because all you're doing is saying, show me Mannix reruns. It's easy.
Or fair. But it still works really well.
I'm sorry, Gilmore Girls. Did I say Mannix?
You did say Mannix, but... Well, I watch Gilmore Girls, but yeah, totally.
Right?
I could speak to my Amazon really well, too, for TV. Yeah. I mean,
TV's
I say
easy.
Batman, and Batman just pops up TV's like nobody's easy. Business.
But
even Comcast has TV.
Yeah.
I mean, exactly. Come on, you guys. And that's saying something. That's the end of the conversation. Even Comcast has voice-activated TV remotes.
Hey, speaking
now.
Of TV, there's We're a done. Really interesting story. Peter Kafka writing in Recode from Walt Mossberg. Remember that we, in the Walter Isaacson biography of Steve Jobs, Isaacson said, Steve told him on his deathbed practically, we've licked it, I think he said. He said TV
is... We finally cracked it.
We finally cracked it. Yeah, there it is. Then we never heard anything, and there was a lot of rumors from people that Apple was going to do a TV set. Well, finally, Walt Mossberg was sitting on this all along. He says Steve Jobs called him on the night... That he formally handed over control to Tim Cook and told him, I think we figured out a way to do it, TV, and it's going to be fantastic. And he said, Walt, I want you to come over and see what we're working on. But he died 2 months later. And Walt never made it over. And no one really knows what it was. The mystery passed with Steve Jobs.
So... That was, okay, Jobs died in, was it 2011?
Yes.
Yes.
So that was a very different time for TV. And mm-hmm. I really want to emphasize that something you were planning way back then, even being Steve Jobs, I don't know if it would have a lot of relevance today. So maybe that's why we've never seen anything from it.
I'm the cynic in me, and you're going to hate me, but it's okay. The cynic in me says that Jobs played Walt Mossberg like a fiddle and mm-hmm. used Walt to basically get the Wall Street Journal, which he was writing for at the time, to tell the Apple story. And Mossberg even says Steve wanted to clearly communicate that even though he wasn't going to be CEO anymore, this is the quote, he was going to still be involved. Their press release made some vague nod toward that, but he wanted me to know that he was going to be involved in big strategic things and also that he was going to reserve one particular thing for himself. I said, well, what's that? Steve said, well, it's television. I think we figured out a way to do it, and it's going to be fantastic. I want you to come out in a few months, and I want to show it to you. That conversation, I don't think necessarily means that there really was anything significant. It could just as well been Steve playing Walt one more time saying, hey, just remember, I'm still around. I don't want you to think I've left Apple.
Can I ask you a question?
He was, by the way, at that point, very sick and very
Can I ask you a question?
Sick. Yeah.
Now, Steve Jobs, great man. Was he out here making everything on his own?
No.
Was he literally designing things?
He had a lab in the Palo Alto house.
He had a lab where he was working by himself.
Where he's soldering together the perfect TV.
So even if he passed away, the team that was doing everything that he ordained them to do is still in existence unless they had like a trap bomb connected to his heart and they expired when he died. So if there was something magical to be happened, the magic would have been released. It would have been the Steve Jobs is the greatest thing in the world, and now he's passed, and here is the greatest thing Steve Jobs ever did.
It's so also
this is like clickbait. This is a clickbait story. Yeah. It sounds nice, but don't tell me that he told you that there was a magical wand, and somehow this magical wand has disappeared into the ether.
Here's the less cynical interpretation, which is that he did have engineers working on something very exciting, and Apple decided after looking at it, well, it's not that exciting or it's not a business for us. There's a lot of reasons. Apple does a lot of things. I don't think they're going to do a car, even though they've spent so much money on it.
I think they're going to do a car.
I think they're going to back
down on it.
I think they're going to do a car,
but I think to Stacey's point, I think that the TV industry has changed so much, and I think the set-top box is one thing that makes a lot of sense because...
Well, there's a new opportunity now, right? The FCC is going to open that up.
Right.
Well, but yeah, the FCC, but also, you know, the whole rise of cord cutting and skinny bundles and that sort of thing. And I think with the TV, I mean, as a lot of people have seen, I mean, it's become so commoditized, even going into 4K, it's become so commoditized that I don't know if that would be, if it would make sense for Apple to be in that space, because Apple loves their margins, right? So if they're going to have a TV that also has this built-in set-top box component and they're going to want to sell for their price, I think they've got to realize that in 2016 or even 2011, it would have been harder to make the argument. It's going to be difficult to say people are going to buy you an Apple branded television set, but you know, a set top box is a little different. But yeah, I'm with Odakta. I totally think they're building a car.
Stacey, what's the status of that FCC ruling? They're still taking comments on that.
I believe they are still taking comments. They may be in the second round of comments.
And some courts, I think, have said this: you couldn't do that if you wanted to, but. Of course, the cable company hates it. They say,
Cable company hates it.
This is our value add. You take away our set-top box.
But man, if you can put the internet around television content and access it on your TV, think about the application. I mean, like, that is such, it's the biggest screen in your house. I get so excited thinking about it.
Oh, I agree. If Comcast X1 is the state of the art, that the best thing the cable companies can come up with, they haven't tried. They have not tried. That is crap.
They're always behind the ball on everything. I'd like to ask you one general question. Do you have $20 on you, Uncle Leo?
I do.
I bet you $20 that after you do this next ad read, that you can't go two stories without saying the word Apple.
I'll give you a note 7.
I'll take the note 7.
He's going to take it.
Ad read. Two stories with the word Apple.
All right, you guys, you're the witnesses. All right.
Let's
we got a great, by the way, we've got a great studio, a giant studio audience today. It verifies that I thought we'd be able to get a lot of people in our new test studios, Eastside Studios. And yeah, we've got about 20 people here today, and it's wonderful to have you all. I guess it's Labor Day weekend, so people got nothing better to do. And including a guy up front who's wearing a t-shirt in Morse code. The dots are marshmallows. The dashes are graham crackers and chocolate, and it says in Morse code, I love s'mores. It is the bizarrest mashup ever, but he's a ham, so it's okay. Anyway, it's great to have you all. Thank you for coming. If you want to be in our studio audience, we love having you here. And the new studio is made for visitors. Just email us at tickets@twit.tv. We did have somebody yesterday who came late and he said, I went to the old studio. And so I guess he Googled it or something, and it takes a while for Google to update. But the wiki's right, and the email you'll get back from us is right, and we'll give you directions to the new place. We also are celebrating the opening of Tess, the East Side Studio, with some new merchandise. We got some merch, custom T-shirts, mugs, hoodies, stickers with the East Side logo. Anthony Nielsen in our marketing department did such a great job with this. If you go to Teespring, TEESPRING, teespring.com/twit, you will be able to pick the merchandise of your choice. The only thing to remember is that these are limited time. We only do this for 30 days, so there's only 3 weeks left. Men's, women's, on the front, the Twit logo, on the back, the really tasteful East Side Studio logo. You know, some people I know have the Brick House tees that we made. So this, you've got to have a complete set. Here's the hoodie, which I think is really nice. It's a pullover, a hoodie, and then there's a mug as well. And stickers, which are cheap, I hope. They should be, stickers shouldn't be on anything, right? $4 for the sticker. Okay. So, Teespring.com/twit. Our show today brought to you by Carbonite Online Backup. I had a guy call a radio show today. He said, please don't be mad at me. I'm so embarrassed. I have never backed up in my life. He said, I've been using computers for 12 years and I've never backed up. And I thought, well, you know what? Don't be embarrassed. You're a lucky son of a gun, because data loss happens. And of course, it happens at the worst possible time. That's why a good backup solution is so important. Important enough in your home, you know, if you've got baby pictures or wedding pictures or financial records or emails, there's got to be stuff on your computer you just do not want to lose. But imagine if you're a business and the computers in your business, they've got your accounts receivables, They've got your suppliers list. They've got your customers list. Those computers hold the keys to your business. If your business, if that building burns down, you can, you know, you got insurance. You can replace all that stuff. Do you have insurance for your data? I bet not. No point in buying insurance for your data after the fire. You get it before the fire, you get Carbonite right now. Automatic cloud backup. They've got great solutions for business, including appliances. They recently acquired a company called eVault. They make a really great solution. If you're an IT pro, you certainly know the name. These guys are great. And you know, one thing that should terrify every business is ransomware. 90% of all the phishing attacks out there now contain ransomware viruses. That's the virus that when it activates on your computer, encrypts your data and then asks for a ransom. Just send us $300, we'll unencrypt it. First of all, even if you send them $300, chances are you're not going to get a decryption. But if you've got Carbonite, you've got nothing to worry about because Carbonite does something every backup should do, but most do not. It's called versioning. It doesn't just save the most recent version, which might well be the version that's encrypted. It saves previous versions. So you can always go back to that unencrypted version and say, nah, 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 to the bad guy. Carbonite is kryptonite for ransomware. Try it out for free. You don't need a credit card. That means there's no way they're going to, you know, like say, oh, we're just going to auto-renew you. No, they really want you to try it free at carbonite.com. But when you do try it, where you see the offer code, put in TWIT. And the only reason I say that, well, two reasons. One, so they know you saw it here, but also so you'll get 2 months free when you buy. As little as $5 a month to back up everything on a Mac or a PC, but they've got plans for servers, networks, and more. Carbonite.com. I'm on a kind of a mission to get everybody using Carbonite.
Well, let me help you out with that mission, Uncle Leo.
Please do.
So long story short, I will not have anybody feel sorry for me, but the power went out and my security system was down and someone broke into my home. They stole all three of my laptops.
Oh, dear.
They stole the iPads. They stole my PlayStation. And literally, like, you know, I'm a chill dude. The thing that made me the most upset was thinking the pictures of my daughter are gone. Where's my stuff?
Yeah.
And luckily, you know, most of my hard drives are still here. And I still have stuff, but I have everything backed up. So if you don't have stuff backed up, whether it be a fire or a flood,
bad
or somebody just coming
happen.
In and taking it,
yeah.
You know, that laptop, whatever, is the value of it, $3,000 you get back from insurance, that's cool. You can't get back the pictures of your newborn, your grandfather, your mother, your kid first walking on video. So everybody should be backing up everything. And $5 to get you in the door is not that much.
Well,
it's
part of a larger strategy. I think it's good to have what you had, the backup hard drives. You're lucky they didn't steal those. That's the
but
problem.
Yeah, you still got to back up to the cloud.
Local backup,
but
you have to have the offsite backup. You got to have it. Thank you.
I know.
I'm sorry.
Everything's there. Yeah.
Did your insurance cover it?
They're insurance, so I got to wait a little bit.
Yeah. I know we talked about this on the podcast. You lost your camera equipment, too.
Yeah. People in the chat were like, why aren't you in HD? And I'm like, yeah, well, you know.
They stole you. Wait a minute. That is low. He stole your webcam?
It wasn't my webcam. I was using my Canon 70D.
Oh. And,
you know, the crazy part about it is there's like a $1,500 lens on it. The lens is more than the camera's worth. But the thing that cracked me up was like, these are really dumb thieves. They took the $300 mic off of the top of the camera, like unscrewed it, took it off, and went down. And the tripod, I have like a $500 tripod. They took the clip off of the tripod, left the tripod. So I'm like, why wouldn't you just take everything? It's all worth money.
Right.
Like, just, that's what thieves do. They're not that bright. That's why they're thieves.
That's why they're thieves.
But anyway, back it up. Listen, back it up.
That sucks, Owen. I'm really sorry.
It happens.
Yeah. Every time you come on, I feel sorry for you.
Don't feel sorry for me. Everything's great. I'm over here.
I know
smiling.
You're like the sweetest guy. You're jolly. You're happy.
Man,
you're
look,
smart. But stuff happens to you.
Stuff happens. That's life.
That's life, isn't it?
That's life. Yeah. Things happen. You know, sometimes you drop a glass and break it. Sometimes it lands in this hole and you're happy. And that's how the world works.
You have a hole for your glass?
Not like a glass. Like when you drop a wine glass, and you think you're the luckiest person in the world. Like, oh, my God, it didn't break.
When the toast lands butter side up, I'm a happy man.
Yes, there you go.
Yeah.
Two stories, no using the word about fruit.
Let's go. Google, according to Android Police, is going to have an event October 4th. And that's when we're going to hear about the new, I want to call them Nexus phones, the Google-branded phones. But the rumor, David Ruddock writing for Android Police, is it will be called a Pixel. The Pixel and the Pixel XL.
I cannot believe you're leading with the phones and not Google Home.
I know.
I'm so sad.
Oh, you're right. You're right. The Google. Well, so, okay, I need a phone because apparently my Nexus burst.
Oh, that's true.
By, I mean, my
but you're not going to wait till October 4th for that.
No, I have other phones lying around. But is that O'Doctor? Did the thieves steal his internet too? Oh, my God. Talk about bad things happening. We'll get him back on. So, actually, yeah, it is more than the phones. We'll start with the phones because people are very interested in these phones. I personally think if you're going to get Android, I wish the Google hardware were a little bit higher and a little bit better cameras, a little bit better battery life, because you really do want Android from the home office.
Right, Google, yeah. I will not go back to, like, alternatives.
They just not, you know, like the Note 7 has a much nicer screen, has a much better camera. I
wish they still did the Google Pure.
The GPE, yeah, the Google Pure Edition.
Those were great because then you got the best of, like, the hardware you really wanted, but the software, you know, that...
These will be designed by HTC, which makes very nice phones, but, you know, they're going to be just a notch below, I think, the top of...
Do they, though? Does HTC make really nice phones?
Okay, maybe not.
I don't think they do anymore.
I don't think they do anymore. I hate to be that person, but I really don't think
they do. The HTC 10 was pretty good.
How many years ago was that?
It was a few months ago. Christina, how quickly you move on.
The HTC 10. The 10, not the 1.
The HTC 10.
Because I was thinking that the A9.
The A9.
The A9, which now they're doing the
Now, I had the HTC 10, and I admit I gave it to Tony Wang, one of our editors. He loves it, though. He says it's an extremely good camera. It was a pretty nice phone. It wasn't, like, the best ever, but it was pretty good. It's just going to be, you're right.
It's like third tier or fourth tier. It's like, exactly. It's a good phone. Yeah. It's not a Kaluka Kalaki or whatever you get when you go to the...
I need a,
like,
Kaluka Kalaki. Where can I get one of them?
What, you know what I'm talking about. Go down to a Metro and go pick up one of those phones for $75. The
TCL.
Yeah, or a blue. One, like, of the blues. Yeah.
HTC is like the step above that. Like, that's their Lexus right there before we even get to, like, the regular market of phones.
And look at what Lenovo's done to Moto, which used to be a great brand, is now just also another. Although I like the magnetic backs. That's interesting. I don't know. I should just get an iPhone.
Yeah. You know.
I didn't say anything about Apple.
I think that was just a side comment. Chat room. I think somebody sent me an exploding Samsung 7. I don't know. I think that qualifies.
You don't want that phone. Just
sure
my
do.
Luck. Your house would burn down and it'd be my fault.
That's fair.
I guess that's fair.
I don't want to get
me a new one. A deal's a deal.
What do you? I'll get you something. We sent your daughter candy.
You sure did, and she loved it.
I like a lot of candy.
She loved it.
I thought, Lisa, is that really the best thing to send an 8-year-old is a bunch of candy?
Yes. They will love you forever.
Yes, it was.
So what was
she
it?
She made an unboxing video for it, too.
I know.
Yeah, it's an unboxing video up there somewhere. If you look up Leah Sugar Wish on YouTube, you can go see her enjoying all this candy. She even shared it with her friends. She's such a good kid. She wouldn't share it with me. But she shared with her friend.
So this is actually, Stacey, we'll do this for your daughter. It's kind of, I mean, I think it's mean, but
don't send my daughter candy.
Yeah, right? It's mean.
No, she's a hoarder. She won't.
You won't get any.
She only eats one a day, and then she keeps it for the rest.
Oh, she would love this. Oh, so Sugar Wish is this site that you go there. We give you a certificate, and then you pick your candy. So
now my husband would go for that.
Yeah. So they have just all kinds of weird candy. And you just pick it, and then they send you a box. So it's like a candy gift certificate. It's the worst.
That's amazing.
It's kind of awesome.
And they have old-fashioned stuff, too. You know, they have, like, the old-fashioned candies.
Well, she's not here, but actually, I stole her.
You stole her Sugar Wish.
She's still got peach rings.
She's
left.
A hoarder, too. What'd she get?
Well, she's eating them one at a time. And these are for us. These are the last ones we're going to have. These are mini gumballs. And these are strawberry marshmallow. Look, give me
that. What's wrong with kids today? No, I don't understand. They have impulse control. What's wrong with them?
She eats one at a time. She eats like one candy complete at a time, so I'm not allowed to go in it without her. We got to talk about it.
You guys should make friends. So, all right. So, forget the phone. They also supposedly are going to announce a 4K Chromecast. That's pretty awesome, right?
Does anyone...
Huh?
Oh, go on, Christina.
I was just going to say, that's weird to me. Like,
why is that weird? I got a 4K TV. I can't see anything.
As do I. And there's not a lot of 4K content is what my point is.
Yeah.
So do you have 4K Netflix?
I do. Netflix is 4K. I have 4K Netflix and I have 4K Amazon.
Does it feel like 4K?
You end up watching stupid shows that you would never watch just because they're made in 4K.
And that's exactly my point. I keep asking people say, oh, I'm watching 4K on my Netflix. I'm like, what are you watching that's meaningfully 4K
Marco
on
Polo.
Netflix? Does it feel like 4K?
The worst show. Marco Polo,
no,
terrible show.
Because the late, I mean, even though I have very fast internet, you know, it's still the bit rate that whatever Netflix is putting out. So if I had a 4K Blu-ray player, then that would probably be better. But I don't.
I have that new.
I can kiss you right now. That's exactly the answer why. What is your speed that you think that you're really pulling down this 4K that you're supposed to be getting on your TV streaming? You're not. You're just paying extra for no reason.
I have 4K HDR, which is the new thing. And I got the Sony,
nice.
I mean, the Xbox One S, which has that new kind of Blu-ray player.
Right.
But on Netflix, by the way, this little tip, you can search for 4K or search for HDR, and you'll get all the Netflix content that's in 4K or 4K HDR. One of them is Marco Polo, which is the just dumb, stupid show about Marco Polo. But the sad thing is, when you see it in 4K and HDR, it doesn't look like this. I'm showing a little video clip of it. It looks like you're watching some actors in a set in a room. It looks real. It looks like you're there. It loses all of its magic. It's like, oh, that's some guy dressed as Genghis Khan. You know, it's like Joe the Plumber dressed as Genghis Khan, and you're watching this. There's no magic at all.
I don't even know if I can believe you because you don't like the show, and that just sounds
you
silly.
Like Marco Polo?
I like history. So
I love history. That's why I don't like Marco Polo.
I mean, I enjoy it. I'm not watching on 4K, so I haven't lost the magic, apparently. So maybe that's why I still enjoy it. Yeah. But
So 4K Chromecast, we don't care a whole lot about. All right. Finally, Stacey gets her wish.
Yes.
Google Home.
Google Home.
So this is the Home is the like the Echo competitor, right?
It is, yes. Totally the Echo competitor. The big difference in Google Home, there looks to be two. Multicasting, so you can listen to things in multiple Google Homes. And then the other thing that I'm excited about is the potential for notifications, which they showed in their video. So not only can you talk to it, it'll talk to you too, like proactively.
What?
Yeah.
Do you want somebody in your house talking to you? Already Echo does, and it's annoying. I'm watching TV. She says, I'm sorry. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. It's really annoying.
They showed it going bing, and then you're like,
okay.
And I'm listening.
Say, what is it? Yeah.
Yes, sir. I think it was, yes, whatever it is.
And then, it looks like an air freshener, so it's got that going for it.
There is that. I'm super excited. I want to know when I can buy it, when I can play with it, and how much better or worse. Although with the Sonos news with Amazon, now I'm kind of like,
that's a big deal. That's a really big deal.
I was so excited.
I think only we care about it because Sonos is really one of those things, much like the Amazon Echo. That is like if you're the handful of people that own it, you can't stop talking about it.
So let me correct you.
And everybody else goes, oh, God.
I know two people in the real world that aren't tech people, don't really care about much, but they use Sonos.
Oh, I love
and
my Sonos.
And both of them.
I'm not
saying. And so once you can automate it like that, people already have that system. So it's kind of a big deal for regular people, too, to involve them and bring them in.
All right.
My parents have a Sonos, and they're not. I wouldn't call them tech people. I also got my mom an Echo for Mother's Day, and she loves it.
You want them to talk, they don't. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now they will, which is.
Yeah.
Okay. In 2017, they will.
Next year.
Yeah. In January. Yeah.
Hey, guess what? We're in September 2017. Although that sounds like the future is practically here.
I know. Have you made your CES reservations?
Oh my God! No,
I was at the Sonos event this week, and they were saying, you know, that the beta will be out later this fall, and it'll be like early 2017. So it's exciting.
The beta's for Spotify, though, right?
Yeah.
The beta is going to play things on Spotify.
Yeah, but they also said there was going to be a beta for the
test it. That makes sense. Did they tell you? Because we were wondering this. Stacey and I and Jeff were wondering this on Twig. if it would allow. So with one of the things that's great about Sonos is you attach it to all your accounts, not just Spotify, right, but Deezer and Pandora and even Apple Music. And then you can say you could say on the app, you can in effect say,
right,
choose something from Apple Music, play an Apple Music
right
playlist. Do you think, and Stacey's of the pin this will not be available, that you would be able to say to your Echo, play my Apple Music playlist on my Sonos in the living room?
I wouldn't imagine why it wouldn't work, because you're basically, you know, controlling the Sonos app, the Sonos experience. I mean, I think that they're building the two things in together. I wouldn't imagine why that wouldn't work.
Are you controlling the app or the speakers? That's the question.
And that's not clear. So yeah, that's a good point. And that would be the differentiator. If you're controlling the app, then there'd be no reason you couldn't. Yes. But if you're controlling the speaker, then that becomes a little bit different. Then you're probably limited to whatever Amazon is doing. Although again, you know, Amazon at this point, it doesn't have all the services that you can do with Sonos. Sonos supports more services, but it is increasingly doing more and more of them. And for instance, if you've got an iPhone, you can't control your Apple Music or your iTunes or whatever, you know, from that app experience. It'll play it from your phone and send it to your Echo. So I don't know. That's a really good question. I don't know. They were kind of light on details, which was disappointing. I was very excited, though, just to see the integration all the way around.
So the Home, the Google's device, which really seemed, and I have to say, if they put, you know, whatever, what do we call OK Google? What do we call that? What is that?
Google Assistant. Is that really Google Assistant?
That's what they're rebranding that.
Oh, and that's going to be an Allo, the new messaging app as well.
Yeah.
And if they have that would be a reason to buy Home the Echo, because my Echo still thinks after Gene Wilder died, this is, I don't know why I'm so emphatic about this, but it still thinks that he died at the age of 81 when he died at the age of 83. And I'm guessing it's just a function of Bing, but like, there's like little things like that where you're like, oh, come on, Echo.
Echo uses Bing.
That can mess somebody up on their school project, because you know these kids
Bing
are out here being lazy.
Theo?
Oh yeah,
they're not checking. They're not actually checking the real dates on things. They're checking with Echo, and Echo could be off by 2 or 3 years.
I think Echo should use
Ask Jeeves. War of 1776 happened in 1778. That's a big difference. Somebody gets F for that.
Okay. So that's an interesting point, that Echo uses Bing.
Yeah, I think they use Bing. They use Wikipedia. They might use Wolfram Alpha. I don't know who they use. Mm-hmm. But great point, Stacey. Because yeah, Google's going to be more accurate on that stuff.
Oh, Google's
sure.
Be awesome. And the notifications will basically be Google Now.
Oh.
Right.
That's my happy Google Now noise. That's what I'm guessing. I mean, we don't know anything about it, because when we asked about it when they showed it off,
it might say, "Hi, Leo. It's time to leave for work if you want to make it."
I don't think that's the voice Google's going to use.
Can they use Scarlett Johansson for me? I don't care what you get, but I want Scarlett Johansson.
Sean Connery.
It's time to leave for work, Stacey. My, you're looking marvelous today.
With my luck, I'd get my mom. Stacey, get up.
Time to leave for work. Get up. Wake up.
That'll get you moving. That'll get you out of the house pretty quick.
Yeah.
True.
We don't know what voice. That's an interesting point. Well, they'll probably just use the Google Assistant voice, right? That's a terrible voice. It isn't a great voice, but Siri's not a great voice either. We could do better with our voices. We need better voices.
There's a company called Josh.ai that they've shown it off. I don't know if it's out yet or if it's coming out momentarily, but they've got different voices for the Echo. So you can get different accents, different sexes.
Open is the Echo? It's pretty open, right? You could put it on a Raspberry Pi. So things like having a new voice, you could theoretically. Would they have to make a deal with Amazon to make it a task?
I don't know how they're going to do it. I think it's a skill. Sorry, a skill, not a task, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who would be the greatest voice of all time to be on any machine?
Patrick Stewart.
Oh, that'd be good.
That's a good one.
Make it so, Christina.
I'll take that. Morgan Freeman?
Nobody can afford him. He'd be amazing.
I'm trying to think of women who I'd want. Can't think of any.
But they use female voices, I think, because I've always seen this said that fighter pilots, when they're passing out because they're stalled or whatever, they use female voices for the fighter pilots. Pull up, because we all have mommies and we're trained to listen to female voices.
Okay, that is just silly. I want to see the study for that. That is ridiculous.
Really? I think that's true.
Again, everybody. Yes, everyone has a mother. You
yes,
are correct.
Even everyone women have mothers.
I'm just saying that sounds. That just sounds so silly.
It really does.
I mean, you think a male voice? Like, why do they use? Well,
okay, so here's the thing about that. It's universally female voice for things. So if there's a woman, like, I would almost believe, like, hey, men are more inspired to not punk out when a woman's around. Like, oh, you're blacking out. If a female says get up, you're going to do it because you don't want to embarrass yourself. Over everyone has a mom and your mom tells you get up and you think you're going to get up for your mom.
You know what they call that voice, by the way, what fighter pilots call that voice? Bitchin' Betty.
See?
Bitchin' Betty.
Wow.
It's a slang term used by
or
pilots.
Or Nagging Nora. Look at that.
Or Nagging Nora. Yeah.
Wow.
Or Hank
Your
the
Yank.
Your door
is ajar. Your door is ajar.
Door. I hate that. The door is ajar. I hate that. But you don't, they're not trying, in that case, of course, you're not trying to soothe somebody. You're trying to get them to pay attention.
Yeah.
Early human factors research in aircraft and other domains indicated, this is Wikipedia, so you know it's true, that female voices were more authoritative to male pilots and crew members and were more likely to get their attention. Much, now it says citation needed.
Citation needed.
Somebody just made that up. Maybe even Leo put that in there. Much of this research was based on pilot experience, particularly in combat situations where the pilots were guided by female aircraft controllers.
See,
citation
so just
needed. They reported being able to most easily pick out the female voice from among the flurry of radio chatter. Citation needed.
That's because there were no women pilots. Of course you're going to pay attention.
Yes.
There's a lot here that I can point out. Is like, yeah.
That's another logic. In the time period back in the day when they had this study, that makes a lot more sense too. Oh, you're going to listen to the female on the phone because there are supposed to be females on the phone.
Right.
What is she doing
and
here?
And by the way, if we then go to actual studies, a study at Plymouth University in 2003 and the Defense Research and Development Canada in Toronto in 2009, in both cases, a male voice rather than a female voice in a monotone or urgent enunciation style resulted in the largest proportion of correct fastest identification of times. So never mind, I forget that. There is no citation needed here. There's an actual.
Oh, actual citation.
Effects of talker sex and voice style of verbal cockpit warnings on performances. From Human Factors, Volume 51, November 1st, 2009. All right, so it's not true.
Now we have to change the whole system around.
I know. We got to change Wikipedia.
We need more men and stuff because men are just as annoying as women are, apparently, in life. I don't know why they think that they need to nag somebody.
Do you
want to
meet Bitchin' Betty?
Naggy.
This is Bitchin' Betty.
Wow.
Yeah. She's young and attractive. Why don't I hear her, though? Do you have my audio?
We don't have your audio.
How old is she? Like,
she can't be Bitchin' Betty unless this was shot in 1938.
Exactly. Well, I don't know if they had cockpits to talk to you in 1938, but there's got to be somebody older than her that was doing that before her.
This is probably another citation needed.
Yeah, we can't trust this.
From YouTube this time.
All right, we need another story.
Where's my
we can't
audio?
Trust
Why don't you hear
sources.
My audio?
We are false reporting.
Have you figured that out? I really want to hear this woman's voice. I want to know if her voice makes me want to pull up.
Oh.
The Tesla doesn't have a voice, does it? Yeah, it does. Is it female? Yes, it is.
The Tesla has a voice?
Yeah. Doesn't it? Oh, I think it's Google's, though, because it's the guidance.
Oh, that's a female voice, yes.
Yeah. Google does not get. Now, with Apple, you can change Siri's voice to a male voice by changing the nationality.
Yes.
Yes.
But you can't with Google, right? You're stuck with that voice. There's no.
I've never messed around with it, but I don't think you can.
Why not?
Let us go to the internet.
Wasn't the greatest thing about TomTom, for instance? Remember the TomTom GPSs? Is you could use celebrity voices.
Oh yes, those were great.
Yeah.
I loved those.
It's actually sad that you don't get to do those anymore. I was just talking to somebody about that the other day because they're like, "Man, I was listening to Mr. T." I was like, "You still have a?
I pity the fool who turns here. Go ahead."
He's like, yeah. He's like, he uses it when he travels and gets a rental car, so he doesn't have to pay for GPS.
Yes.
And I'm like, that's really awesome. I miss that stuff.
Well, so when you have an infinite variety of things to say, though, you can't hire an actor to.
Right.
Right.
I used to have. Can you not get my audio? Do you know what that's all about? Is that me or you or? You can't. Too bad, because I want to play this. I used to have a voice. I used to have GLaDOS. Remember GLaDOS, the evil robot from Portal?
Oh, yeah.
I used her on the TomTom, and she would tell you to turn left when you're supposed to turn right.
Oh.
And then when you would arrive, she'd say, I don't know why you went here. There's no cake here.
Oh, my God.
It was awesome.
That's a troll, but that's fantastic.
It was a troll because it wasn't useful, but...
no, it's like the least useful thing in the entire history of the world, but that's fantastic.
Yeah,
because
your GPS is telling you...
And welcome to the Aperture Science computer-aided navigation system. Aperture Science has committed to the well-being of all users of its navigation systems. Cake and grief counseling will be available at the conclusion of your journey.
After
300 meters, you have reached your destination. Congratulations. Please remain in your vehicle, and your cake will be delivered shortly.
It was fun. I also had Dennis Hopper for a while giving me directions, kind of stoned directions.
That's funny.
I don't understand why they don't. I guess because it's too much of a vocabulary.
Yeah, that's what Stacey was saying, which I think makes sense.
Yeah.
Don't we have systems and algorithms that can just mimic things like that? Once they get your basic pattern down, can't they just make the inflections? Like they have you say the alphabet, and then you can just say anything.
Hello, and don't welcome we have that to technology. Nap Turns. Easy driver.
I'm exaggerating my point, obviously, but I mean, the technology.
They do, but it's expensive. And I think that for most companies, I mean, they can do it, but I think...
800 yards. Keep left.
Guys, I'm going to have to go research this.
Yeah, would you?
Yeah, because now I'm fascinated. I'm like, the difficulties. I mean, we've been spending so much money on natural language processing and understanding people.
What about talking?
Communicating.
Yeah. What about talking? What about coming back to us? Because wasn't that... I loved the movie Her.
Yeah.
And the thing that made that movie was that Scarlett Johansson was the voice of the AI. And when you have a real... I mean, it wouldn't have worked... If it didn't have that,
it's the same way advertising works. Right now, there's a commercial with Kevin Hart's voice in it, and he's doing advertising for a business. And my daughter walks to the room, and she stops. And the reason she stops is because she hears the tone of his voice. And she looks at the TV, and she's like, what is that? And she doesn't care about it, but she cares about his voice. She can feel his voice. So when it's somebody you know and somebody you care about or somebody that is soothing, like I said, Morgan Freeman, he could get me to do anything on my phone if he was talking to me on my phone.
Uh-huh.
He would be my best friend. Siri's trash. I would use Siri every day just to talk to Morgan Freeman. Like, literally.
Well, so there's an interesting...
Or James Earl Jones.
Yeah.
James Earl Jones.
CNN.
This is the world's most important.
We need to start this campaign.
Yeah.
I don't know. James Earl Jones, I'd feel bad, if I didn't follow his directions.
I find your lack of driving.
I'm more fallible.
Find the fact that you can't tell your left from your right. Disturbing.
Disturbing.
The Simpsons had this funny thing when, I guess, because he guest starred a couple of times as a character, Bleeding Gums Murphy. And at the end of, I guess, like his character's final appearance, he made like a lot of the comments like Star Wars and like The Lion King and like CNN, like bit by bit by bit. It was very funny.
But they use humans to generate these voices.
Yes, they do.
So there must be a way to give, even though they have to do a lot, by the way, the best of them all is Amazon's Echo. She is really good.
She does like have inflection.
Yeah.
The thing is the price of it, right? So I saw the woman who was Siri's voice. And I'm like, they pay her whatever pentance in the beginning, and now she's like not making money. If you had to get James Earl Jones, the amount of dough you'd have to pay him.
No, so you get a voice actor, but I do feel like you could have better voices.
Yeah, but they also have to be understandable, and they have to be like the woman who did the first Siri voice, and it's a different voice now. But the first Siri, which is why she can now sell herself as like, I was the voice of Siri, is now actually a different voice. She was also, I think, the voice of the ATMs,
right?
Like Bank of America used to do.
I think she was Ma Bell. She did.
Exactly. She's done like a million of those things.
Yeah.
So I think that you have to have like the right celebrity, like a Kevin Hart would be good, or a James Earl Jones, or a Morgan Freeman. But you've got to have something that's easy to understand and is soothing, and that can also be like that can work in a lot of scenarios. Because if it's something that if you have any sort of accent at all, or an accent that is you know, hard to understand, I think that that would end up negating the whole point of voice assistant stuff.
John Markoff did a great piece earlier this year in the New York Times, creating a computer voice that people like. And he was talking about Watson.
Yeah.
And remember that Watson played Jeopardy and had a kind of a bland voice.
He sounded like a jerk. He was a real a-hole.
Well, do you want to hear, because this is the best part about this New York Times article. They began in 2009 searching for a voice for Watson. And here are some of the finalists. Do you want to hear some of the finalists that weren't selected?
Yes, here's the finalists.
This island that was home to a notorious prison.
Oh, God.
That's, no, no, that's Alex Trebek.
Oh,
okay, so they're going to actually put this in the Jeopardy game. So Trebek is going to ask a question, and you'll hear.
Gotcha.
This is going to always be the same kind of basic setup.
Eight National Recreation Area in San Francisco.
What is Alcatraz?
Right.
A national sites for 2000.
So that's pretty good.
This state's only national memorial honors clergyman Roger Williams. Jennifer.
What is Rhode Island?
That's it.
So that's pretty close to the final, but here's some other ones that didn't.
This island that was home to a notorious prison is part of the Golden Gate National Recreation Area in San Francisco.
What is Alcatraz?
Right.
A national site.
That's nice. The female voice, right? That's nice. That sounds a little bit like Siri. This may be not.
This island that was home to a notorious prison is part of the Golden Gate National Recreation Area in San Francisco.
What is Alcatraz?
Right.
That's a little creepier, right?
This state's only national memorial honors clergyman Roger Williams. Jennifer.
What is Rhode Island?
That's it.
Now, this is the one. I can't even believe they considered this. This is the one. This was the finalist. Didn't make it.
This island that was home to a notorious prison is part of the Golden Gate National Recreation Area in San Francisco.
What is Alcatraz?
Right.
Oh. National Sites for 2000.
This state's only national memorial honors clergyman Roger Williams. Jennifer.
What is Rhode Island?
That's it.
Go that is creepy.
That's so creepy.
That is. I'm picturing like a little mouse.
Same. Yeah. I'm like a small child. I'm like, yeah, I don't. Because it's you can disembody it enough. I mean, I think you're right, Leo. Like what made her so amazing was that like ScarJo's voice,
so
and she has a great
real.
Voice. Was it feel so real? But you also either need to have that realness or you need to have the slightly disemboddedness where you're like, oh well, this is you know, in a nice soothing voice.
So there's an uncanny valley. Like there's an uncanny valley.
But to have the uncanny valley where then it's like a child voice, you're like, oh my God, a child is inside my machine. Like that's
it
just
sounded
creepy.
To me more like Chucky, like a killer doll.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
That's insane.
Yeah. Yeah, Alex, you think you're so smart, Alex?
When my daughter was small, I taught her to say red rum. And it was awesome.
Did she do a finger?
She did.
Red rum.
Did.
That would creep the hell out of me.
No, I couldn't do that. I'd be like locking my kid in the closet. Like, stop it.
People come over and your daughter comes out and goes, red rum. I'm going to my room.
it was very effective.
Yeah.
I encourage everyone to do
no
that with
visitors.
Their small children.
Wow. That is really...
That's awesome.
Some people teach your kids to swear. You taught them to look like a psychotic child that's about to murder.
Terrify people, which is better.
It is. Well, they're both great, but yeah, I'm a big fan of the red rum. That's fantastic. Again, these are all reasons I don't have children because I think that's all I would do.
You would do that.
If I had that would be all I would do.
Do you dress up your cats?
I don't know if you can see it, but here's Father of the Year right here. That was Leah today. She's going to be Lady Deadpool for Halloween. That's a real sword.
That's awesome. That's so cool.
So you just got to get her blonde little hair tail.
Here's why you're Father of the Year. You're planning her Halloween costume in September.
Oh, man. She got that thing a month ago. I have to fight her not to put it on every weekend. She just wants to run around in it. I got it because I didn't want it to be sold out by the time Halloween came. Because as soon as she said, I want to be Deadpool, I'm like, word? Let's do that. Because that is awesome.
So is it sexist to have a female voice? Is that... like, you're my servant, kind of like subservient.
I don't think so.
No.
I think they're more pleasant, to be honest. I also, and maybe this is sexist, I don't want some guy in the house with me.
I don't mind if there's a guy in the house. I just like the female voice is better. Although I do like the British Siri male voice.
That's what Megan uses.
That one actually does feel a little like a servant because it feels like it's Jeeves.
Right, it's
you
like
know,
Jeeves.
It feels like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. You feel like you just got an extra $20,000 in your bank account when you're using that voice.
I'm sorry, sir.
I got a little bit of money.
That's what Amazon should use. So then you'll be like, oh, yes, buy more stuff.
Hey, yeah. We got to can we talk about an ad, and then can we talk about Facebook and some security maybe?
Oh, you are all over it. Stephen Fry, who has the best British voice, right, ever, did a talking clock for a while. It was called the Voco. And he did it as Jeeves.
Oh.
Good morning, sir. Your horoscope is unusually favorable today. Shall I get your bank manager on the telephone? Very good, sir.
This is a good way to wake up.
Good morning, sir. I am delighted you have survived another night. If you will allow a personal note, sir, may I add my own small congratulations to the roar of the world's approval?
Oh, I want this clock so bad. This is the Voco.
If it didn't have that bird tweet in it, it'd be awesome. Well, that bird is like a sharp sting in my ear. That thing is crazy.
It was a little piercing.
Ooh.
Maybe not a good recording. Here, this.
But he was funny. That's funny. That's funny clock.
Yeah. I love Stephen Fry.
Excuse me, madam. The Duke of Wellington presents his compliments through the medium of my Aunt Vera. He is particularly admiring of your shoes. I'm afraid I have no further information than that.
That is very random.
You could actually create something like that with a pie and just load MP3s of Stephen Fry.
Totally. That's why I'm just frustrated that they don't do a better job of this. They need to focus more on that, I think.
I think they're doing quite enough. I mean, like, they've got the APIs they're working on.
I think the Uncanny Valley, they don't want to personify it too much because they're afraid of freaking people out.
Yeah, you're not going to get ScarJo talking to you just yet.
Yeah, and Skynet and the whole thing. And it's Google especially. Anyway, the Google Home. Yeah, the Google Home. Looking forward to it. We'll find out more. On October 4th, do you think we'll be able to buy it soon?
I hope so. They've got to get that guy out.
They announced it at Google I.O. They announced it in June.
Yeah, but when they announced it, it was so far away that they couldn't even do an on-stage demo. It was an empty box.
That's true.
So I hope that it's available, but it might be one of those things where they actually now give us a demo and then are like, early 2017.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I feel like they're still in a beta phase. Like they might get it out to certain people to like have go a couple months with testing before anybody can even get a hold of that.
I want Allo. What's holding Allo up? That's the smart messaging client.
Summer's over now, too.
Yeah, they put out Duo. Summer's over. Summer is over. Well, it's over in 3 weeks, technically.
Technically, so they still got time.
I hate that stuff. Yeah, they have until the 21st.
They still got time.
I was going to say, Labor Day technically means the end of summer.
Yeah. Notice nobody here is wearing white shoes or white belt.
Well, I will be wearing white Adidas tomorrow. I mean, you know,
that's
look,
okay. Sneakers,
sorry.
That's different. No
it's
white
still Labor Day.
Leather.
You still got time. Don't say sorry. It's your right and your privilege.
You got it until the end of day tomorrow. And
sorry,
you know
not sorry.
There are still winter whites.
Our show today brought to you by FreshBooks, the super simple cloud accounting software that changed my life. Like 10 years ago when I was still a freelancer. In fact, Amber MacArthur told me about it because I hated doing invoices. And there's a problem when you're a freelancer. Nobody started their own business because they love doing invoices so much. I mean, that's like the worst. So it'd come to the end of the month and I'd put it off. I didn't want to fire up Microsoft Word and Excel and get all my papers and my receipts. But the problem is if you don't do that, you don't get paid. And that's a problem. In fact, there was a period when I was doing this, I was going to Canada doing the TV show, that I did not invoice Rogers for my travel or my time for like 4 or 5 months. And then, you know, I'm starting to say, I really need a check. So I put them all together and they were pissed off. They said, you're invoicing us for 6 months worth of travel? We're not going to do it. Amber said, FreshBooks comes out of Toronto. Great company, one of the first Web 2.0 companies, and they've gotten better and better and better. In fact, 5 million small business owners now use FreshBooks for their invoicing, for their accounting. Come tax time, you'll love the reporting. Your accountant will love the reporting. It literally takes 30 seconds to create and send an invoice, including different currencies. I was billing in Canadian dollars, no problem. You could also brand your invoices with your logo. I had a nice little, you know, Leo logo. You could set recurring invoices so you don't even have to do it every month. Attach receipts. You can use the FreshBooks app to actually take pictures of receipts and get them into the invoice. Clients can pay you online which most of the time means you get paid faster because it turns out clients don't like paying any more than you like invoicing. Not because they don't want to pay you. They do. They just, it's a pain in the butt. So if they have a button on the email that says, just pay them now, they'll do it. You can even set up auto payment reminders. It's so awesome. They have this new thing. I'm not sure I really understand it, but I think if you are, I would have used this probably then, because you can invoice for a payment up front when you're kicking off a project. So a lot of times you go into debt, basically. You go, it comes out of your pocket until you get the expenses paid back. Now you can use FreshBooks as a escrow, basically. You can also import expenses automatically. So it's very fast, very easy. And there's so much more. It even has a chip, EMV chip card, so you can, you know, dip the chip or swipe the stripe that goes onto your smartphone using their app. So if you're doing business in people's houses, you can invoice them. You can actually give them an estimate. All this with FreshBooks. Give them an estimate on the app, give them an invoice on the app, and then take their payment on the app all at the same, you know, in one day, which is truly amazing. You're going to love it. It's going to transform your life. If you are invoicing people, get FreshBooks. You can try it free for 30 days. FreshBooks.com/twit. FreshBooks.com/twit. There's no offer code for this, but when they do ask you, how did you hear about us? If you would write in This Week in Tech, I would be eternally grateful. FreshBooks. They've been a good sponsor for us since I started using them 10 years ago. Really great company. FreshBooks.com/twit. What did you want to talk about? Facebook, Odokta?
I don't know. Facebook security, something.
You want to talk about them, how they can now zoom in on Instagram? That's kind of a minor.
No, that wasn't it.
I watch people, though, all the time. I'll show them an Instagram picture, and they do this. And I have to, it doesn't do anything, but now it does, right?
The worst part is, unless you have a 6 Plus, when you're watching videos and stuff, everybody always tries to turn your phone because the videos are so small. Like, it's just a natural thing. Like, anybody who doesn't use Instagram, I'm like, here, watch this video. We're laughing. And they're like, why don't you turn it? Why can't we watch it bigger? And zooming doesn't even help that. I still can't watch the video bigger. You zoom in on a video. What point does that make?
We had some pretty good coverage this week of IFA. And none of you went to Berlin for that, the big IFA show?
No.
We sent Father Robert Ballasaire to it. You know, that show was started by the first show, I think it was 1923, by Albert Einstein. It has been going on since then. It was a radio show originally, IFA.
And, we talked about this.
Yeah. I mean, that's so cool. Anyway, Robert was there. He had some picks, some of the things he liked. I don't know if he would buy this, but one of the things he mentioned was Sony's Walkman. Sony's released a new Walkman. Whoops. You know how much the Walkman is?
$3,000. It's gold-plated, but it's stupid.
But you could also get the $2,300 headphones to go with it.
Oh, my God. What is Sony doing? What is Sony doing?
It's their 70th anniversary.
They're pushing Apple even into the pocket of not having headphone jacks anymore, which is what Sony's doing.
Wow.
If that's the price of something.
70mm magnesium dome driver, aluminum-coated diaphragm, neodymium magnets, and the headband's made out of beta titanium.
I thought the $800 Walkman was dumb. Exactly.
Oops, my daughter's calling me. I'm sorry about that.
I thought the $800 Walkman was dumb.
You could sell that if you called it Alf Alpha or Spreckenstein or something.
Spreckenstein.
But when it says something luxurious that people name stupid
Sony,
things.
You know what's sad?
But when you put Sony on, I'm like, I won't do it.
Sony used to be like that. That's what's sad. They used to be the quality. Remember
They were the Apple before Apple. Like Steve Jobs wanted Sony to buy Apple back in the 80s.
Not anymore, Sony.
No. When I first had my first Walkman and Discman, I was the coolest kid on the block. I truly understand that. But for Pete's sake, Sony, give it up.
All right,
let it go.
Here's one thing I did want to get. I liked a lot. The Gear S3 Classic from Samsung. And
huge.
Is it really, really big?
It's really, really big.
It's really, really big. But it's so pretty. And by the way, this is not an Android Wear watch. This is Tizen.
Tizen, yeah. No, I mean, it's good looking, I suppose. I can't look at it and be anything other than angry, because I look at a watch like that and Samsung has been like, well, we can't make the female version of this because we just can't make the electronics small enough. And I just get so angry. because it looks fine, but it's just like, this is a male watch.
If you were to wear that watch, you'd be like Grandmaster Flash. It'd be like,
yeah, it would be impossible for me to wear the watch. A, it would be too heavy. B, it would be too big. Now, I have small wrists anyway. I have like a child size wrist.
Yeah.
And so the 38 millimeter Apple Watch
is too big.
Like, it's not too big, but I have like, for the leather band, I have the small size, which is like the size that typically they're like, oh, we typically sell this to children. I'm like, thanks guys.
It's so insulting.
But taking me out of it, I just feel like even the average woman, like, so someone who doesn't have a super small wrist, it's still, that watch is still too big for them. And I was talking with someone who, like, a male friend of mine who's like really into watches, and he was like, yeah, he's like, anything over 42, because I think it's like 46 millimeters or something. He's like, anything, you know, over 42 is a big watch.
This is the latest Moto 360. It's pretty big. You couldn't wear that. I think it's 46.
No. Yeah,
but I like big watches. I cannot lie. I mean, it's just, I just feel like, I don't know, because I'm a big guy, right? It doesn't look.
It looks fine on you.
It looks fine. It looks manly.
That is something to be said, like how people, again, miss the mark. I understand, like, people not having a female version of a watch all the time.
Well, they can't.
But if you just...
This thing has a 380 milliamp hour battery. It's got a four-day battery in it.
Again, you can still make something stylized for a smaller wrist or female. That's one thing. If you're like, Apple, who would buy... Because women can't walk around with this big clunky thing on their hand, and neither could kids.
No. Because you've got to have... If you're willing to compromise and not put like GPS or a cellular radio on it,
that's what this has, a GPS and a phone in it.
Right. So if you're going to add the modem for the phone plus the battery, you're going to move into like crazy fat territory. I mean, that's hard. But you can, if it's like a normal smartwatch, like just Bluetooth and it's going to use your phone for most of the stuff, totally could do something pretty. I was so pissed that, you know, the initial Pebble was just, So I took a picture of that. They were like, it's like you're wearing a medical device. And
they're better now.
If it's stylish enough, it has to be stylish. It has to look like nice. This is what's been a problem with smartwatches, is they look stupid. They don't look stylish. If it's stylish enough, some people, I admit, Christina, you're not in the picture, but some people would... I mean, I think that looks very nice. Of course, the problem with smartwatches, and this is an OLED, Super AMOLED screen, and it's a 1.3 inches, is they always look better in pictures because the screen always looks like that's real hands, that's real numbers. Mm-hmm. And then you see it, and it's clearly a screen. I don't know. I'm going to buy this.
Somebody sitting on a board on a panel with design and crews and all the smartest people in the world could make a lovely wearable device for a female, and it just needs to get done. Like, you don't have to make one with every cycle of watch you make, but make one once a year. Give me an option so I can buy someone a present.
I would say women are the biggest market for fitness bands and fitness watches.
Yes,
right?
And I would say that women would be more willing to spend a ridiculous amount of money on a watch if it's attractive and fashionable. I mean, again, my Apple Watch, I spent $250 on the band because it's an accessory. It's a fashion thing at that point, not a tech object. And so the way that I mentally am able to justify what I spend on something, at least for me, I can't speak for all women, but at least for me, I'm able to sometimes say, well, I'm now justifying this as a fashion purchase versus a tech purchase. And so I can make allowances to spend, you know, $800 on something for my wrist because it's also a fashion item, rather than just being like, well, this is a gadget.
Costume jewelry? I'm just thinking about, because like one of the things I have do you think your band will work with future iterations of the Apple Watch?
I do.
Okay, because that's one of my things. Yeah, I'm like, oh, you know, I have a Ringly. I've looked at doing the bracelets. I've looked at a lot of stuff because I love having attractive things that interact with my stuff, especially because my phone's always in my bag. But a lot of it's really expensive for something that I'm like, yeah, this is probably going to last like a smartwatch is a no-go for me if it's more than like $200 because, my God, it's
going to get a year or two. Apple's putting a new one in Wednesday.
We're not supposed to talk about
By the way, that's the other thing. No, we got through two stories. I'm going to send him a phone anyway, so it doesn't matter. The other thing I have to note is that with the exception of Apple, almost everybody's doing now round faces. Apple's the only one that's doing square still.
Yeah.
Anything to say?
I think it's an aesthetic decision.
I like round. That's the aesthetic decision. Round's good.
It's again, I Apple like being round. Apple, wouldn't it be different?
Yeah.
And also, I think that rounds, unfortunately, if you know, it's harder to make a smaller round face. So for me personally, I'm okay with the square because I feel like round to get all the stuff there, it's harder for them to miniaturize that. I mean, I think Pebble did a nice job.
Do you still wear your Apple Watch?
I do.
Yeah.
I think I like squares, actually. I feel like round from a design aesthetic, they look weird on someone's wrist. It's a rectangular thing in the beginning. I don't know. Yeah. I've always worn square watches.
Yeah. Well, my Cartier Tank watch is a classic square watch. Lots of square watches.
In classic. How do people feel about watches when they're no longer classic? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's a macho kind of Ray Donovan element to a big, clunky watch.
You just lost half of us.
Nice plug there for Ray Donovan. Great show. I was wearing really my Apple show. Watch every day, so I'm looking forward to getting a new one.
Yeah. I'm curious about this S3. It also, you can play Bluetooth music via Spotify from the S3 to a speaker. I mean, this thing basically is this. I think where
it's basically
where,
it's phone.
It's a smartphone in your wristwatch, and I think that's kind of what Samsung's thinking is. If we could just get all the functionality of a smartphone into a wristwatch now, then you'd have something.
You just got to make sure that the battery doesn't explode.
Yeah,
that'd be a bad thing, right?
I mean, imagine that. Like again, something where the size of it. But like, imagine if you could give a kid that, right? You don't want to give a younger kid a phone per se, but if you said, oh, here, put this watch on and I can at least text you or call you when you're out at the park or outside or over Susie's house or something, you can still communicate with them and they only had that one device, they didn't have to carry something in their pocket, that would be huge.
It's also going to do something that Android Wear does not do, which is touch to pay. And it's going to do something the Apple Watch doesn't do, which is not only touch to pay, but Samsung smartphones with Samsung Pay work with card readers, swipe card readers, because it sends out a magnetic signal that tricks the card reader into thinking it's a credit card being swiped. The watch will do that too.
You almost sold that watch now.
That's interesting. You're a big guy. We're big guys. We could wear this. We could wear a big old watch. And then, here's my question mark. Will it work with anything but Samsung's phone? Because in the past, that's been a stopper for some people.
I doubt it.
Probably not, right?
If it's running Tizen, can it?
I don't know. I don't know what the capabilities are. AT&T has already announced they will sell it, and it takes advantage of a new feature AT&T's been touting, and in fact, it explains why AT&T's been touting it, which is that you will have a phone number on your phone and the phone number on the watch that are different, but you can tell the phone that the watch phone number is now the phone number to ring when the phone rings, so it's going to, in effect, spoof your phone, so you will have one phone number.
People's heads will explode. That is really complicated.
And you have to pay for that.
Well, of course you have to pay for that. So that's another SIM. Yeah,
right.
Whoa.
Yeah, so that's the problem, right? Each SIM has a unique phone number, except in this case, you'll be able to have two devices with the same phone number.
So really what you need is some sort of like dashboard where you control all of your communications from AT&T or whoever your carrier
is. That's what
I
need.
Well, no, I'm saying because then you could actually set that up.
Google Voice.
Well, exactly.
I wish Google had. Google makes me mad. Wish they hadn't just kind of thrown away Google Voice.
Google Voice is so good. It's been abandoned.
But how long is it going to work for, right?
They're not going to cut it off. It's just going to stay there and float in the ether and be the exact same it is.
I love it. I got five phone numbers.
What's your main carrier service?
T-Mobile on the Samsungs, Google Fi on the 6P, and I can't wait because I'm going to Europe in 2 weeks. That Google Fi, I can't wait to try.
That's going to be awesome because you're going to get the LTE, right?
Yeah, it's the same price in 19 countries as it is here.
That's so great.
So we'll see if it works in Russia. I'm going to Russia too. That's going to be fun.
Where in Russia?
St. Petersburg.
Super fun.
Ooh, 3 days in St. Petersburg. I can't. I just I wonder. I'm hoping. I don't know. I wish Donald Trump would get elected while I'm there. I think it'd be so fun.
You better make sure you take your Fez to Russia.
But don't take it to Turkey.
Not to Turkey.
I can't remember whether you can or can't. Anyway, let's take a break. We're going to get some wrap. We'll wrap this up. Each of you pick a story from the rundown. We've got so many more we haven't even got to. So pick something that you think we should have talked about, but Leo's just terrible. I know. I got one. Oh, I got several. Well, Ozzy Osbourne's genome.
No, no.
The Grumpy Cat lawsuit. I mean, there's good stuff in there, and you can now rent Ehrlich's Aviato car.
Oh, I'm so mad about that. Okay.
Okay. Okay. When we come back. We had a great week this week on Twit, and we made a little movie. So in case you missed stuff, you can watch this and you'll feel complete. Watch.
Previously on Twit.
We're never going to surpass this, Mary Jo, but I believe this week we have Outlook Gate, Battery Gate, Webcam Gate, Kindle Gate.
Someone who was not from the U.S. sent me a tweet and said, why do you guys keep talking about all these gates? Yes.
It all started with Watergate, the first scandal.
Which has become really the least of the gates, in my opinion.
Twit Live Specials.
All around us, there are tens of thousands of people who are waiting to get into these hallowed halls behind us, filled with the latest in televisions, the fastest in computers, and the greatest in technology. I'm Father Robert Ballister with Twit TV. Welcome to IFA 2016.
This Week in Google.
I am going to make an effort to use Google Plus.
I should too.
What else is there? I think Twitter, it feels more and more as I go back there that all the communications there are very self-serving. None of this stuff is that useful to me. You know what I'm saying?
I follow an amazing array of people. Basically, if you are smarter than me, I probably follow you.
That explains why you don't follow me or Jeff.
I follow Jeff.
Twit, we love you.
She follows me, too. That was just, you know, a little byplay. What's coming up this week? Let's find out.
Thank you, Leo. This is a short week because of the Labor Day holiday in the U.S., but the tech news never stops laboring. I have two words for you, Apple and Sony. Wednesday is the big day with not one but two companies making big announcements. First, there's Apple. Will we see new iPhones? Will they have headphone jacks? Will there be a 256 gig option? Is it okay for men to buy the new rose gold headphones from Beats by Dre? Will you buy me the new watch that they announced? These are the questions that everyone wants to know the answers to. PlayStation also planned an event for this Wednesday. We assume Sony is going to use this gathering to finally open the kimono on the PlayStation Neo 4K capable upgrade to the PlayStation 4 console. We might also see a PlayStation Slim. That's a thinner version that's rumored to be a pretty lackluster product with few improvements to its predecessor. T-Mobile's new unlimited-ish plan, T-Mobile One, also launches this week on September 6th. And finally, the XOXO Festival starts this week in Portland, Oregon. That's a gathering of independent artists doing cool stuff on the internet. Headliners include Anita Sarkeesian of Feminist Frequency, HTML and CES expert Eric Meyer from Meyer Web, Sarah Jong from Motherboard, and more. We hope to cover some of these happenings and oh so much more on Tech News Today every day at 4 p.m. Pacific with Jason Howell right here on Twit.
Thank you, Megan Maroney. And it all begins Wednesday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 1700 UTC, with our live coverage of Apple's announcement. And I guess while that is Sony's announcement exactly the same time?
It's a couple hours later, I believe, or maybe it's an hour later. So I think Apple starts at 10, and I think Sony's is at 1. Yeah, no, Sony should have canceled.
Every company in the world knows if you're going to say anything, get it over with before Apple.
I feel like maybe they just want to fly it under the radar because this is the best sweet rug move that you could pull if you don't want people to know what's going on.
I guess so.
But this is like E3 all over again. Remember when E3 happened, you know, during WWDC? I get it. Sony might not have realized, although they should have, because everybody had the rumors. Like when they were planning this event out, they were like, for nothing else, just the fact that like certain outlets are having to pick, do we cover Sony or do we cover Apple?
Yeah.
And nobody in the right mind is going to choose Sony over Apple.
Well, we'll do what we can to share the Sony news as well. Mostly it'd be right. PlayStation, right? The new PlayStation.
Yeah, exactly.
Our show today brought to you by Wealthfront. Wealthfront is a fabulous solution for anybody who is saving for the long haul. And that should be you because of retirement, rainy day fund. Maybe you're saving for a house down payment, the kids' college fund. Wealthfront solves a big issue. What do you do with that money? How do you save? You don't want to put it in a savings account. That's not going to really grow at all. That'd be like putting it in the mattress. So you got to invest it. But are you going to keep track of these investments? I know a lot of us think, I was cocky. I was that way. Oh, I could do that. I read all the books. And then you kind of forget about it. And the thing kind of languishes. And pretty soon you realize, it didn't work out so well. Or maybe you go to an advisor. That guy down the street charges 1, 2, or 3%. Yes. Every year of what they manage. That means you have to make 1, 2, or 3% more just to break even. Not to mention the hidden fees, the transaction costs, all of that. And frankly, some of these advisors, many of them are charging, are buying stocks because they get a cut, or they're, or, you know, they get a fee every time you buy and sell. So they make you do it more than you need to. Not with Wealthfront. Wealthfront has no hidden fees, no commissions, no transaction costs. And you pay 0.25% a year. Not 1, 2, or 3%, but 0.25% a year. And that's because it's a computer. Wealthfront's software that's designed not to pay attention every quarter or every month, but all the time, constantly rebalancing your investments to maximize your return based on your needs, your time frame, your tolerance of risk. They'll even do things like tax loss harvesting that's kind of complicated. Most advisors don't even know about. Wealthfront, I want you to take a look. You don't need to start, although you can get started with as little as $500, but I would like you to take a look at what they do. And when you go to wealthfront.com/twit, you can get their free portfolio review. Give them your portfolio. It will show you what part is risky, whether it's well-diversified, what your fees are, what your tax bill could be, and how you could save money. It's really useful information. They'll even generate a portfolio, the exact portfolio they'd invest for you after you answer a few questions. It's really cool. And the software is based on the best books. All those books I read, people like Charles D. Ellis and Burton Malkiel, they've got 200 years of stock market experience on their board. It's really, really well done. They use ETFs, which is a smart way to give you a very low cost but very diversified investment. Read about it. They just introduced their 529 college savings plan, which is like a Roth IRA for higher education expenses, great for kids or grandkids. There is a reason Wealthfront is growing like crazy. $3 billion in client assets. You've seen the articles. I just saw one in Wall Street Journal where the traditional brokers are moaning about the fact that this computerized trading just does a better job, frankly, and cuts them right out of the equation. Visit wealthfront.com/twit. Here's one more good deal. If you sign up there, your first $15,000, not for 0.25%, but free for life. So you can really get a nest egg started there. Wealthfront.com/twit. All right. I mentioned some stories, but let's start with you, Doctor. Your story of the week.
Apple and money and hiding money and giving out money and bringing money back and getting sued for money and all kinds of stuff. We don't have to talk about any of them. Just let me read the headlines.
Tim Cook's pissed.
Apple's $14.5 billion tax bill, what it really means. Apple faces multi-billion dollar tax bill with the EU ruling.
€13 billion. That's $14.5 billion. Retroactive tax.
He could send cash back to the U.S. next year. Tim Cook responds to the rule in the Irish press and his total crap of 0.005% tax rate is a false number. Well, I'll be Jiminy Christmas. There's a whole lot of smoke with this fire. And I'm just saying, it's not just Apple. Microsoft, too. Yeah, everybody start looking at Microsoft. Let's start looking at all these people not bringing the money home.
Tim Cook says it's total political crap. He says Apple paid $400 million in the year in question, not 0.005%, but $400 million. He says, I think we were the largest taxpayer in Ireland that year.
I'm sure they were.
He also says, look, I mean, cities in this country do that all the time. They do, or states do tax breaks to get the development, to get the country's companies to come into the state or come into the city. We'll give you some breaks. Because in the long run, we're going to get more jobs and we're going to get more tax money than if somebody else wins you. And I think that's what Ireland did. EU said they did it illegally. If the EU wants to fine Ireland, fine. But to retroactively demand $14.5 billion from Apple.
What are they building in Ireland? What does Apple make in Ireland?
Well, admittedly, they don't do. I mean, they have a few thousand employees, but it's a tax dodge, but it's a legal tax dodge.
And that's what's wrong with everything. But anyway, I just wanted to say about that. Just go look at all this money. And I don't care. I want retro money coming back. I want extra money coming back. I want all these loopholes cut out. I want all these corporations. I know it's the tax.
I agree, but that's the... legislatures need to do that. The EU can do that. But what they can't do is say to Apple, you got to give us some extra money. They have to say, we're going to change the law because the Apple was following the law.
Go ahead and say it, Apple. Go ahead and say it to them. Just keep fighting the fight. You ain't going to get the money, but just say it.
They're not going
to
get the money.
Bring it up everywhere. Yeah. And go talk to Microsoft next. They next on the list.
And you know, the good news is Cook is now saying maybe we'll repatriate some of that money.
Because right now, they keep it offshore because if they were to bring it back to the U.S., they'd actually have to pay corporate tax rates in the U.S. And that's like a third of the money shot. But that's still better than $14.5 billion. So
yeah.
And there's a disadvantage to keeping $200 billion overseas, as Apple does. You can't buy companies in the U.S. You can only buy companies outside the U.S. with that money. That money is not usable inside the U.S. So, in fact, Apple's taken out bonds because they don't have access to that money.
Didn't Tim Cook just liquidate $65 million of Apple stock?
God,
I mean,
bless
he still
him.
Holds 110 million. I mean, that sounds like somebody trying to buy something on the sneak tip. I don't know. I'm just saying. Investigate everything.
All right.
That's my
All
story.
Right. There's Apple your story. Money. Investigate Apple everything. Money. Oh, doctor. Thank you, oh, doctor. How about you, Christina? What do you think what did we miss today?
I mean, that Grumpy Cat lawsuit.
They covered this on This Week in Law, by the way, and they compared it to the other lawsuit where the PETA lawsuit with the monkey.
Right. What I loved about this was Hudson's headline for Gizmodo, which was everyone involved in this $1.8 million Grumpy Cat lawsuit sucks except the cat.
Yeah, because Grumpy Cat's the only one who's not involved.
Grumpy Cat, the cat itself, I mean, the owners are terrible. The people, the coffee company is terrible. Everybody's terrible except for the cat. God bless the cat. Everybody
the
else
cat's just there.
Awful.
Have you met Grumpy Cat?
Unfortunately, I've met Grumpy Cat many times. I feel bad with the cat. I feel bad. The cat.
I want to hear this story. Unfortunately, is he really grumpy?
No, the cat's fine. It's just...
He's got handlers that she has to deal with, and that's the problem.
So is this like a pushy like
she doesn't want to say that.
Stage parent that's just pushing?
It's a brother and sister, and yeah, let's just say that, yeah.
They're horrible they're people.
I mean, you said it.
Leo said it.
I've never met them. I don't know.
She wants to keep her relationship with Grumpy Tact.
I don't really care about my relationship with Grumpy Cat. I don't work at Mashable anymore, so I guess I can say, yeah, actually.
Wait a minute. Did Grumpy Cat have a special deal with Mashable?
Well, it came to South by Southwest like 3 times.
Yeah.
On behalf of Mashable?
At the Mashable house. It was like a whole thing. So now that I no longer work there, I can say, yeah, you know what? The Grumpy Cat people aren't great. The cat is fine. The people themselves, not so great.
So apparently they licensed the Grumpy Cat image to a beverage company that sold Grumpuccino.
Right, and then there was some sort of displeasure over money or something.
Well, then they went further. They didn't just do Grumpuccino. They did Grumpy Cat Roasted Coffee.
Right, and they were like, oh, so you owe us money, and you've really sullied the name of this whole thing. It's like you're fortunate that I don't know. I was really hoping that after the Lifetime movie flopped.
There was a Lifetime movie?
There was a Lifetime Christmas special that Aubrey Plaza, who's fantastic, voiced Grumpy Cat, and it was a really terrible movie on every level. Like, it was just absolute trash, but it was so bad you couldn't even like watch it ironically and be like, oh, this is funny, like Sharknado. It was just bad. And after that flopped, and not only did it flop like in terms of ratings, but no one tweeted, which is the real like the whole reason.
I never even heard about it.
There was no social media.
Which the whole reason you do that movie, right, is to get people tweeting like Sharknado.
I
was really hoping that after the Grumpy Cat Christmas movie fiasco, I was like really hoping that the whole thing would just go away and that these people would go away and that the cat could just, you know, like live on in peace because I feel for the cat. But no, now we've got to continue to hear about these awful people arguing over.
I wish I meet a friend, one on whom I can depend.
So, me? You really screwed up your big wish.
Okay.
Wait a minute. That's Grumpy Cat's voiceover?
Here we go.
Yeah.
Goodwill.
I don't care.
Joy.
No.
That's the worst voiceover. Terrible.
I love the actress, but yeah, it probably wasn't a great
It's
choice.
Like she just phoned that in.
Geese to all.
That's actually how she sounds. That's actually
you are a loser.
Are you serious?
Of course I'm serious. Look at my face.
This Christmas.
You were talking to me.
What are you, some kind of blonde witch?
I heard all of that.
Stop it.
You stop it.
You stop it, witch.
So what's the story with Grumpy Cat? Does he have some sort of, she have some sort of unfortunate facial disfiguration?
Can you stop showing that? I have a weapon in my hand off camera, and I want to hurt myself. Can we? No, I'm dead serious. Don't put that back on the screen. I'm not going to shield my blade. I'm going to shield this blade.
Why
and just
is
going
she
about
frowning
wrestling
like
my dad.
That? Why is she frowning because, like that? Is she?
that's just mean. Get it off the screen. I can't even look up at you unless you get it off the screen. Just stop it.
Can we merge it with Odakta's face?
You merge a grumpy Doc with my face, and there will be a grumpiness upon you you can't imagine. I tell you that.
Let's
right
see.
Now.
There's Grumpy Cat, and there's
Odakta. You don't have to
Odakta.
Deal with my handlers.
Let's just put them in together into one amazing mashup.
Look.
Grokta. Oh, Grumpy Doctor. Look.
If I turn into a meme, you're going to have a problem.
Owen JJ Grumpy Cat.
It'll cost you more than a phone.
All right. Unfortunately, we don't have time for photoshopping, but if anybody wants to send it to me, I'll make sure we post it.
Next story. Don't we have another story?
Next story. Stacey Higginbotham, what's your story of the week?
Man, I should have gone first because I have nothing lighthearted and fun. I can't believe we didn't talk about, you know, hacking local
database.
No, well, okay, there's Dropbox, right? So
Dropbox, 68 million records revealed. Dropbox was very proactive. They sent out an email to everybody and said, we're going to change your password.
Yeah, but it happened 5 years ago or 4 years ago.
2012.
Yeah. But what was yours, Stacey? What was the heck you want to talk about?
Oh, so mine was the two state election databases. And granted,
those were crazy.
So, yeah, Illinois, also Arizona. Also, mm-hmm. Well, okay, so they pulled the data from the voter registrations, I believe, election databases. Yeah. So this isn't like hacked voting machines, but
it's like SQL databases.
That's coming next. Don't worry about that.
So, yes. Yeah. But so I'm looking at this and I'm like, they're like, look, state and local governments don't hire security officials. So, you know, we kind of can expect these things to happen. And I'm like, you know what? Then don't put it online. Like, seriously, Russia is already messing with our election cycle. We really don't need this.
We really need script kiddies. So when it's SQL injections, when I wrote the story and I was like going through the information, I was like, oh my God. Because I started to
12
think,
year
like,
olds can do this.
Yes. I was literally thinking that. It freaked me out. I was like, oh my God, every local small jurisdiction is at risk because they're probably using not even using DigitalOcean. They're using like just like the lowest end, like, you know, server that they can get, probably not hardening anything, and like literally it's terrible.
Yeah,
like
it's the worst thing in the world because that is only the two instances that they caught somebody. Yeah. Okay, just so y'all know, we're not safe out here. Your vote kind of doesn't count sometimes.
They should immediately. They got electoral security experts.
They got all kinds of systems. We got lobbyists giving out money to people. Nothing's real. What we need to do is put it on your cell phone. At least everybody looks at their cell phone and they have it tethered to one number and you get one vote. We need to do something. We're the smartest country in the world, but we're so dumb. Why are we so dumb?
No. Every expert says immediately they need to turn off all electronic voting machines. And you have to
paper
do it on
ballots.
Paper.
Please, just
paper.
That's how we got George Bush.
No Chads. I'm not talking hanging Chads. Just write your vote on a piece of paper.
No, you could probably do it like via a scantron.
There's ways
like
to do it that they're safer, but everybody agrees that the voting machines there are terribly, terribly.
Well, and it's dangerous with Donald Trump saying like things about the election being rigged.
Yeah, he's setting it up. Right.
Right.
Because so when he loses, what he's setting up is basically a revolution.
Bernie Sanders, people were saying the same thing. Yeah. People were actively going to protest counts where they were doing exit polls and the poll numbers came out different. People complain about this all the time, but nobody cares. Now that we're scared to death that a man monkey might become president, now everybody wants to look at it. But I mean, it's been going on and it's been an issue and we need to do something to fix it.
I don't know if you watch Silicon Valley. One of the important plot lines of Silicon Valley.
I'm so mad about this story. Sorry.
One of the important plot lines of Silicon Valley comes down to tabs or spaces when you code. And thank you to Michael Nunez at Gizmodo, who actually wrote the story and did some. Was it Michael did the research? No, it was Google developer
was Google,
Felipe Hoffa.
Yeah, Google did the research.
He said, well, what is it? What do people use it? So tabs or spaces? And he did the research. And yes, there you go. Spaces win by a mile for every language except Go. I don't know why Go. But every language, people use spaces over tabs. That's all you need to say. By the way, that means that what's his name, the guy in this, lost because he was a tab guy.
Mm-hmm.
And his girlfriend, who dumped him over this, won. And she won twice in that case. The best part was as he's trying to demonstrate why you use a tab, he stomps down the stairs. Space, 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 space. and then falls. So, and as long as we're talking Silicon Valley, this is the one that makes you mad. You can now rent Ehrlich's Aviato car. This is a real car with the Aviato branding. That's, of course, Ehrlich Bachmann's bizarre failed startup, the one that he used to fund his startup house. It's a
Is
Ford.
It a failure if he sold it and made
no,
money and has
not.
A flop house?
Maybe not. His
I
Ford,
don't think it's a failure.
His Aviato branded Ford mm-hmm. Escape can be rented in, of course, Silicon Valley for $49 a day.
Okay, this is not a story. This is what drives me nuts. This is marketing. This is viral marketing that both TechCrunch, Fortune... It is not brilliant. It is an indictment of tech press. I hate it. Oh,
capitalism.
I like the story. It's hysterical. In fact, I can't... I'm going to rent this.
No, you're not.
No, you're not.
They had...
You are forbidden from renting that.
I'm going to rent this vehicle, drive to O'Doctor's house, and deliver to him an exploding Note 7.
You are forbidden from renting that vehicle. You will not fund this kind of foolishness.
You're right. This is a very puffy piece, but it is August.
It is August.
There's hackers running around. You know
they did get by the way they got the guy who hacked Linux the linuxkernel.org site at a traffic stop, and he faces I love that. There's a picture of Tux in the jail. He's facing a potential 40 years in prison. Donald Ryan Austin of El Portal, Florida, is going to appear in court in San Francisco later this month on 4 counts of intentional transmission causing damage to a protected computer because he hacked into kernel.org, where the Linux kernel is stored, in 2011, stole the credentials of one of the server admins, tried to install malware inside the site, caused all sorts of unfortunate unhappiness. And
that sounds really excessive to me in a state where you could go to jail for 3 months for harming a person.
An interesting point, isn't it? An interesting point.
I'm just saying, like...
But we don't know. He may not get 40 years. That's just...
Oh, he may not. I'm just saying, when you throw that number out there, I mean...
Seems like a lot.
I'm not even going to honor that dude by using his name, but I'm just saying that dude, his max would have been 6 years.
Yeah.
If he would have got that deal in 3 months, I'm like,
it's
because
computer crime scares people, and they really, the legislatures really went kind of crazy over all of
that. Yeah, that's crazy.
And I have mentioned it, so I have to mention it again. Ozzy Osbourne is going to have his genome sequenced because no one can understand how he's still alive. He's 62, but he's used more marijuana, alcohol, and cocaine than people twice his age.
Okay, but Keith Richards is still alive, too.
He's the other one.
Yeah. Well, obviously, though, that's the key to life. Duh, if you were doing that, you could survive.
This is from The Guardian. I was curious, he explained to the Sunday Times, giving the swimming pools of booze I've guzzled over the year, not to mention all of the cocaine, morphine, sleeping pills, cough syrup, LSD, Rohypnol, you name it. There's no plausible medical reason why I should still be alive. Maybe my DNA could say why.
Maybe he's not alive. Maybe he's a zombie.
Sharon! That was a terrible Ozzy Osbourne. I apologize for that. And I think I know there's great stuff. Is it true that this SpaceX rocket was destroyed by a drone? No one knows, but I've just started that rumor.
Sounds legit.
I like it.
Mark Zuckerberg is very disappointed.
Yes. Mark was in Africa. There's a very funny exchange. I think, where did I read that? Between, I think maybe it was New Yorker, between Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk. Elon's texting him, Mark, I got some bad news. Because on that SpaceX rocket, which exploded, was a $200 million satellite for internet.org. Okay, we don't really need the weird music. I don't see a drone anywhere there, though. That would be pretty terrible if that were the case. Poor Elon Musk. That's going to be... I think that's actually going to be a big hardship for SpaceX. That nobody was in it. It wasn't even being launched. It was just being tested. However, the...
That's why we test.
Amos
so you can learn.
That's why you test.
And make it better.
Mark's not happy. But they got insurance, right?
You do insure satellites, yes.
Must cost a lot to get satellite insurance.
Yeah, that's I was looking at like a comment thread on that, and it was like, it depends on, because I think I think it was like $95 million. So I guess you've got to kind of figure out like how much do you insure it for? Do you spend, if it's like $10 million, then it's worth it, right? But if it's like $50 million or $80 million, like meh.
Yeah.
You know, and Google, and let's face it, Facebook can't afford it. Right?
Cannot?
Can.
Oh.
Yeah, of course, possibly.
That's like cigarette. I mean, yeah. That's Mark's cigarette money for the year.
No, they can afford Facebook, it, but they want to rebuild it again.
Right. Yeah, but this is also a big strategic effort for them.
Right.
Like getting.
And he was in Africa to celebrate this, right? Because that's where it was going to work. Okay. I'm going to let you off the hook. You've done a wonderful job. There are so many more stories we could talk about, but golly, after 2 hours, who cares?
And it's Labor Day.
And it's Labor Day, and you're slaving on Labor Day. What are you going to do, Stacey? You're going to have a Austin barbecue?
Yep, tomorrow, barbecue and swimming.
Oh, what fun.
Nice.
What will be the adult beverages served? Because I could be there.
Oh, what do you not like?
Oh, no. My God. Do you hate me?
No, I'm just having fun with you.
First, you don't follow me on Twitter. Now you try to kill me.
I know. It's done.
No, that'll be fun. I think that'll be a lot of fun. How about you, Christina, in Manhattan? You're in Brooklyn. What do Brooklynites do on Labor Day?
I mean, similar drinking. So there will be some drinking. I can't drink too much because I've got a 7 a.m. flight on Wednesday Tuesday. Rather.
You got somewhere to be on Wednesday?
Yeah. I got somewhere to be. The Apple event. So I got to fly out on Tuesday for that. So, but there will be some day drinking tomorrow for sure.
We will get some cameras down there to the Bill Graham Memorial Auditorium. Maybe we can catch you as you come out.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, as soon as I'm done with my hands-on and time with that stuff.
That's the reason to go, because there are a couple of things. Andy Inoko has always says you want to kind of watch the gestalt of the executives as they're talking and announcing.
Exactly.
And you can maybe read between the lines there. But also the hands-on afterwards is always of interest.
That's the real value. Yeah. Because, the live vlog, anybody can do from remote, and that doesn't
We're
really
going to watch
value,
the stream together, and we'll see, all of that.
Exactly. And so the real thing, the real reason you go is for the hands-on time, just to be able to offer your impressions and get photos and do Facebook Lives and all that stuff.
Oh, doctor, let me see Leah's Halloween costume one more time. It looked like she had an actual katana sword in her hand.
She did. Her costume's sitting over there, and the sword is right here. It's on the floor.
You're giving your daughter a sword? Oh, my God. Nice. Oh, my jeez, Louise. Okay, good. Good, that's good. That's good.
She's been handling swords since she was 4. She's a pro.
Wow.
Christina, do me a favor.
Yes.
Pour some out for my homies and the headphone jack when you're out there. Pour some out for my phone.
Just pull a little Wayne for us there.
Just go to the corner liquor store, wherever. There's one out there. Yeah. Get you a 40.
Yeah, get you a 40.
Make sure you tip it out
for little
Colt, people.
Colt malt liquor. Owen, besides plugging the fact that I am on the Doctor Cast, what's it called?
Doctales.
Doctales. Woo-hoo. I love that name.
Yeah,
and you can get that at IQMZ.com. Anything else you want to plug?
No, I just want to plug supreme happiness and joy. I'm trying to get some positivity back into my world because of what happened. But like I was saying earlier, don't ever feel bad for me because my life is great. I get to sit here and suffer with you on a Labor Day. I mean, enjoy myself.
I never feel bad
with you guys.
You are just
on a Labor Day weekend.
You are just you're full of life.
And I'm going out tonight and going to go have some drinks later and I'm going to have some drinks tomorrow.
And you
got to
come here. You got to come here because we had, remember we had your body outline on the wall in the old place.
And you couldn't bring that with you.
We couldn't
did you
bring
do
that
with
wall
those?
With us. Huh?
What did you do with all those signatures?
They're still there. They're gone.
You had really important people sign that wall.
I know. We had Nolan Bushnell drew a Pong.
I know,
but the same thing happened at Tech TV. We had amazing stuff. Neil Gaiman had come in and drew a Sandman cartoon on our set walls. Ugh. It's a tradition in studios. You have people sign the wall, and when the set's down, it's gone. I mean, but
can we
start over a new tradition.
Don't we have the technology to scan that and then just like have somebody print it out?
Yeah, I was supposed to take pictures, and I didn't get around to it.
There's pictures on the internet. People send them to me all the time because people signed inside my body tell me. People were doing
We put O'Doct against the wall, and I outlined his body with a magic marker, and then people would sign inside it.
It stayed pristine for like a good year, then somebody went and soiled my image.
Once the dam breaks, it's just out of control. Thank you all for being here. We do This Week in Tech every Sunday afternoon, 3 p.m. Rain or shine, holidays not accepted. 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 2200 UTC. We love having you in studio. Great studio audience today. Email tickets at twit.tv if you, too, would like to suffer. in the audience with us. If you don't, though, you don't watch live, you can always get it on demand, audio and video, made available at your convenience, either from the website, twit.tv, or from your favorite podcatching appliance. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next time. Another twit is in the can. Bye-bye. Doing the twit.